on rules and executive appointments for September 10th, 2007. This morning and this afternoon, we have a great number of appointments to have to go through. We're going to try to do that as efficiently, as expeditiously, and as, let's say, as succinctly as possible. That's a great number of appointments to try to do in one day's time. We'd need to begin this meeting because we're at an organizational level now with simply a motion on the rules. I should state for the record that the rules are the standard rules for an interim committee. They will not apply during the February supplemental session, but that there's nothing unusual about the rules, and you should all have a copy of them. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve the proposed committee rules for the Senate Interim Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments.
Okay. There's a motion to approve approval of the rules. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Motion is approved.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Before we move on to other business, first of all, I'd like to welcome you as chair of this fabulous committee, but I also wanted to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh,
and
no.
As Senator His birthday was yesterday. If Senator Farioli were here, we would sing, but he's not. So unless Senator Bobbia can hear a tune, I'm not going to try.
I don't even think I want to hear Senator Farioli do it.
So. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
So congratulations.
Thanks for small.
I've never seen you so red in your whole life.
I'll have to thank Senator Farioli when he shows up. So. With that, we do have quite a number of appointments, as I've indicated before. I would ask that when everyone comes up that they basically talk about their qualifications for the position, why they want to be appointed to the position, to keep them to this morning to like 3 to 5 minutes, hopefully closer to 3 than to 5, and that way we can get through all of these this morning. We will go to questions after each panel is through. Some panels only consist of one appointee at this particular time. No one should be surprised that we're not going to motions on appointments. We will go to motions at the end of our morning session and at the end of our afternoon session for the actual motions. So I will begin this morning with Melinda Eden for the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council. Ms. Eden, please identify yourself for the record. My good left-hand person here who chaired this committee forever.
That long, Richard, I'm not that old.
Indicated that I need to open a public hearing on the appointment of Melinda Eden to the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Melinda Eden. I'm one of two Oregon members of what we call the Northwest Power and Conservation Council, formerly known as the Northwest Power Planning Council. I live near Milton Freewater, Oregon, which this week is 40 miles northeast of the Pendleton Roundup, and that's what we're famous for this week. If the Senate confirms my reappointment, I'll be serving my second term. I've worked in this building and elsewhere in Oregon as a news reporter. I went to law school. I've practiced law. I clerked for a federal judge. I served for 6 years on the Environmental Quality Commission and then was appointed 4 years ago to this position. I farm in Umatilla County with my husband, and I think that I bring a balance to the issues that the region faces with respect to hydroelectric power and fish and wildlife protection. Congress charged the council with 3 jobs. They are, first, to develop a power plan looking forward every 5 years to the next 20. We are to do a demand forecast to see what the load is expected to be in 20 years, and we are supposed to come up with recommendations about how that load and increases in load are to be met. Second, we're to create a program to protect, mitigate for, and enhance fish and wildlife adversely affected by the hydro system on the Columbia and Snake Rivers. And third, we're to involve the public in our decision making. We have two big programs that are going to be amended in the next 2 years. Fish and Wildlife program has to come first. and then we will create a new power plan in 2009 to meet our statutory deadlines. We're in the middle of those processes. I would very much like the opportunity to continue my work on behalf of Oregon and the region on those processes. I ask for your favorable recommendation for my reappointment, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Eden. Are there any questions? Senator Atkinson?
Mr. Chair, sounds great. No questions.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Eden.
And thank you very much for accommodating my schedule. We have a transmission workshop this morning.
Okay. I'll close the public hearing on Ms. Eden, and I will open a public hearing on Mr. Ray Baum for the Public Utility Commission. Mr. Baum, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I'm Ray Baum. I'm seeking reappointment to the Oregon Public Utility Commission. I have moved myself and my family to Salem, Oregon, and live at 1696 Onyx Drive there. And we have had a lot of challenging issues at the PUC over the last 4 years that I've been there. I, came from a background as a country lawyer out in eastern Oregon, and I served 8 years as a legislator here with Senator Brown and other senators and representatives, most of which are gone. But I've also served as an Oregon Liquor Control Commissioner for 5 years while I was outside of that process, appointed there by Governor Kitzhaber. And now I've served 4 years on a commission where we've had a lot of challenging and complex issues we've dealt with, and the legislature and its wisdom have given us several more that we're looking forward to dealing with, including the renewable portfolio standard and some other climate issues that we look forward to tackling. I'm also looking forward to further guidance from the legislature on how we should handle those issues as we go forward. So we're looking forward to working on these issues. We feel we have a good group of people working at the PUC. We have very qualified staff, and we're committed to working hard and thoroughly analyzing these rather complex and dense issues, and we look forward to your continued support and having the great privilege of serving on that commission for another 4 years. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Avakian.
Yeah. We're often confused, two of us. And actually, not even a question. I just wanted to thank you for your good work and input on the renewable energy bills and climate change bills last session. And I think that the bridge from last session to the future, having you on the PUC as that bridge, is going to be very, very valuable to the state. So I'm very glad that you'll be reinvesting your time.
Well, it's a privilege and grateful to do it.
Senator Atkinson, do you have any questions?
Oh, well, Mr. Chair, I would add on that what Senator Watkins said. Commissioner was wonderful to help as we did work through the RPS bill and a whole association of bills that we were working on. But I must say that for a country lawyer who spent 8 years in the legislature, that was the most quiet I have ever heard Ray Baum testify. I could barely make out a word, but I'll still support him.
Senator Atkinson, for the sake of so that we can proceed expeditiously on the appointments after this, I'll probably just wait for you to speak up rather than just ask you each time, if that's okay with you.
Yes, Mr. Chair, birthday boy.
Yes. 45th birthday.
Oh. Right.
Thank you, Mr. Baum.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on Mr. Ray Baum for the Public Utility Commission. Ms. Darcy Baker for the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. Open a public hearing. Ms. Baker.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Darcy Baker, and I come before you today seeking reappointment to the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. As you are probably all aware, I was appointed to this board in June 2004, and since that time, I've worked diligently to foster the board's relationship with our criminal justice partners, community groups, and stakeholders. I serve on a number of committees that are charged with holding offenders accountable and ensuring that the rights of victims are recognized and preserved. As I look back over the past 3 years, I'm very proud of the work my colleagues and I do. We're dedicated to serving the citizens of Oregon to the best of our ability, including those that come before us seeking release. While all the work is important, there are a few items that I'm especially proud of that I'd like to share with you this morning. When I first came to the board, there were not open lines of communication between the counseling staff at the institutions and the board. The board is dependent on the counseling staff to provide us with clear and concise information so we can make appropriate recommendations for conditions of supervision. This is critical not only for public safety, but for the rehabilitation of the offender. From the time I have arrived at the board, I have made it my goal to be accessible to the counseling staff, to answer their questions and provide training as necessary. I've visited nearly every institution, and I'm happy to report that we have a much better working relationship. We have a greater understanding of what the counselors do, and they have a greater understanding of what the board does. The second thing that I'm very proud of is our work at the board to change the predatory designation procedures for applicable predatory sex offenders. And as you know, there was a ruling by the Supreme Court in February 2005 that challenged us, mandated us to change our procedures, and we now have new procedures that I wrote for the designation of predatory sex offenders both pre- and post-release. And so I'm very proud of those things. I have a number of projects that I'd like to continue working on at the board and would like to be reappointed to do those. And so if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Any questions?
Yes.
Thanks.
Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, thank you for your service. I think this is a critically important role. You have a new chair on board.
We do.
I'm assuming that things are going well between the three of you. I thought your budget presentation was most excellent. So are things going well?
Chair Devlin, Senator Brown, things are going very well. We work together very well. We bring different strengths to the board, and it's just a pleasure to work with my colleagues. And in fact, we were just staffing issues this morning, and we are all of like mind in that we want to be responsible and receptive to our constituent groups. And so to that end, we have tried to make ourselves more visible to others.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Ms. Baker, it was, I think, during one of my short stays on this committee, in an interim committee, you were appointed, and it's good to see you back here, and it's good to see a person that's been working in probation and what I used to call parole, but I'm supposed to now call post-prison supervision, to still be so engaged and to still be so focused on the issues. I could embarrass you by asking you how many years you've been working in that area, but
I
won't.
A long time.
So thank you very much, and we'll look forward to considering your appointment on the Senate floor later this week.
Thank you very much.
That'll close the public hearing on Ms. Baker. We will open a public hearing on Susan Rossiter for the Employment Relations Board.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. I'm Susan Rossiter, and this is my first time seeking appointment to the Employment Relations Board. I have extensive experience as an administrative law judge, both working for the Employment Relations Board and the Office of Administrative Hearings. And as you can see, I do have a longstanding commitment to public service and a tremendous interest in labor law. I do consider service on the Employment Relations Board to be a privilege, and it's a privilege I take very seriously. As a board member, I have three goals. First of all, I plan to work with the other members to make decisions that apply the relevant law to the facts that are presented to us, that effectuate the purposes and policies of the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act, CEPECBA, and decisions that can also withstand appellate scrutiny. Secondly, I think it's important as a board member to write decisions that are clear and understandable to all parties, because let's face it, the decisions that the board makes provide guidance to the practitioners in the labor relations field, as well as to rank and file union members. And in order to promote stability in labor relations, I think it's essential that those who are affected by our decisions know what the board is talking about. And finally, my final goal is the one that I consider most important, and that is to work to issue our orders in a timely manner. I feel as a public member of the board that it's my duty to be mindful of the cost of delay in adjudicating cases, and I'm very much committed to working with the other members of the board to improve our efficiency in issuing orders, and I think that my background prepares me to meet this kind of a challenge. So thank you very much for the opportunity to testify, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Rossiter?
Mr. Chair, just for the record, this will make two of the three members of the board from my district, so I just wanted to put that out, that Southeast Portland and Milwaukee are extremely well represented on this board.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rossiter, and that will close our public hearing.
Thank you.
On the appointment of Susan Rossiter to the Employment Relations Board. We will now move on to Musafi. Mustafa to the Workers' Compensation Board.
Did you like spell it out? Okay.
I would not.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Mustafa, and last name is Kasubai. I'm like Prince. With one appellation, I do carry two. Thank you. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, I am appearing before you today seeking renomination to another term, a second term on the Workers' Compensation Board. As one of the two members with backgrounds and experience in labor and employee matters. Prior to serving on the board, coming onto the board in 2003, I managed my own law practice, a civil plaintiffs firm, primarily in Eugene and Klamath Falls, representing injured people in claims. Currently on the board, there are five members, and the work that we do include promulgation of Chapter 438 Oregon regulations involving procedure and practice before the Workers' Compensation Board, as well as, and our primary work is reviewing appeals of our administrative law judges and hearings involving injured workers and employers. In that regard, the work that we do establishes precedent at the board level, and our work is ultimately reviewed by the Court of Appeals and perhaps in some instances the Oregon Supreme Court. Since coming to the board, devoted my legal career to public service, and I look forward to continuing my devotion in public service onward. If there are any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And appreciate you coming in. Close the public hearing. We will move on now to the State Commission on Children and Families. We have three appointments: Michael Harper, Daniel Krein, and Robert Schlackner. Two of them will be by phone, one of them will be in person, and I will open that public hearing. We will start with Mr. Harper while we wait for the other two to connect it.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Michael Harper, a resident of Clackamas County. I'm excited to be nominated to the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. My background comes from coming out in 1980 to play for the Portland Trailblazers and making my home here. One of the most incredible things about sports is the opportunity to touch children. Through those touches, I've had an opportunity not only to be in front of thousands of children, but also have a chance to visit schools, communities, and organizations that are involved with the promotion and wellness of children. I have three children of my own, and I'm proud to say my daughter Brittany was the first to graduate from the University of Oregon. And last week I took my son down to the University of the Redlands, and I have one daughter, a freshman at Westland High School. Children has been something that's extremely important to me as a past CASA volunteer, as a member of, as a chair of a school board, and also as a member of the Portland School District. It's been something that I have a passion for. Finally, I'd just like to say that it is an honor to move from one board to a new one. I'm leaving the board on from a mortuary and cemetery board, which is a far cry from where I'm headed now. So thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity.
I would have to answer any questions that you may have.
I give them up to the other.
Yes. Mr. Harper, I appreciate your willingness to serve. Our normal process here is to hear from the other two appointees and then to direct questions to all of you.
Thank you.
So we'll see who is on the phone at this time. Well, we will break precedent. And, yes, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve on this particular commission. I used to practice law and did represent children in the foster care system, so I'm very interested. Are you currently serving as a CASA?
No, my position is ended. I currently am on a board for Portland Hope Meadows, which has an opportunity, hopefully, to start a foster program in North Portland. So I'm still involved in a way that way with children. But I'm also a high school basketball coach. I coach at Riverdale High School. I coach my daughter's team at Rosemont Ridge Middle School. I still coach numerous children, numerous programs.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Well, we'll wait here for a few moments and see how we're doing.
While we're waiting, somebody should put in a good word for the mortuary board, which is a tremendous function in the state of Oregon. Yeah. Glad to see you go for a full circle from the end of life to the beginning. Maybe there's value there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we have them on the line.
Oh, okay. Mr. Crine, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Why don't you go ahead and proceed?
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Dan Crine. I'm the director of the Tillamook County Juvenile Department. Thanks for allowing me to testify by phone this morning. A local business called. I've been nominated for the Commission on Children and Families to represent the Oregon Juvenile Department Directors Association, having been asked by the association to be their representative. Briefly, I've been in the juvenile justice system for 23 years, and this position feels like a natural progression for me as I've been connected in some way to the work of the commission for many years. I think it's important for a juvenile director to serve since many of the CCF programs, the programs administered by the CCF, have a direct impact on juvenile crime prevention, and now those funds are also under the Commission on Children and Families umbrella. I have a passion for the service development in the area of runaway and homeless youth, having worked on several committees over the past 10 years, and now the Commission on Children and Families is the venue to bring forward those concerns and hopefully figure out services for that runaway and homeless youth population. I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you this morning and would be happy to answer any questions any of you might have.
Okay. At this point, Mr. Slechter, our practice is to hear from all of the appointees to the commission, and then we will go to question. Mr. Harper is here in person and has already testified, so we'll now go on to Mr. Slechter.
Slechter. Yes.
Please proceed. Slechter. Yes, Mr. Slechter, please proceed.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. This is Robert Slechter. I'm presented as a nominee, as a public member. Appointment. My background, unlike the prior person, is not in the children's services area. I'm an attorney. I'm a practicing attorney in Portland, Oregon, but I have a keen interest in children and family issues. 30 years ago, before I started practicing law, I taught the mentally challenged children in a public education setting in Ohio for 2 years. Which acquainted me to some of the stress and strains on families and children who were under particular impact. More recently, I have coached high school mock trial for 10 years in Oregon and gave me a chance to work with youth directly. And these are high school students. But the students that I coached were people who were sort of on the top of the curve. These were, college-bound students who had a lot of family support and educational support. And one thing that interests me about the commission is a chance for me to use some of my analytical abilities and to help in the process of delivering the services better to the impacted communities and to help set up or to implement the legal processes necessary to get the work done. I appreciate the opportunity here to speak and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. At this particular point, well, Mr. Harper is here in person, Mr. Krein and Mr. Schlachter are on the phone. Are there any questions from the committee? Well, I would tell you the two parties on the phone, we have a full complement to the committee here today. Senator Atkinson is actually on the phone also, and we have Senator Abaki and Senator Ferrioli, Senator Brown and Senator Devlin. If there are no additional questions, I would like to thank you all for your willingness to serve, and very much appreciate you either coming in here in person or being ready to be available on the phone. With that, I will close this public hearing, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will now... Okay. We're going to do them all together.
Those two.
Or all three.
I will open a public hearing for the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. The parties being presented are Penny Blaine, Kathy Miller, and Richard Schultz. Two of them are here in person. One will be by phone. We will start off with Miss Blom, Penny Blom, if you please come forward. I'm probably mispronouncing your name also.
You were right the first time.
Oh.
Good morning, Senator Devlin and committee members. I'm Penny Blaine. I got it right the first time. It's okay, though. I'm here to get your support to the nomination on the Fair Dismissal Board. I've had 30 years of educational background. I was a school counselor, and I'm presently on the school board in Rainier, Oregon, and serve on the Commission on Children and Families in Columbia County. I also golf coach, so I guess that helps. I have a great passion for serving the public and have done so for most of my life. And that's about it. Thank you very much. And if there are any questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will go, if you'll please stay here, Ms.
Okay.
Ms. Blaine, and we will go on to, let's see, Mr. Schultz, you're here in person also.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Richard Schultz, and I live in Sisters, Oregon, and work in Crook County, Oregon, in the great city of Prineville for the Crook County School District. I, too, have over 30 years of experience in education. I've worked as a teacher and a school administrator and now as an HR human resources director for the Crook County School District for the last 7 years. And this is my first time to appear before you for appointment to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Committee or Board. Look forward to serving on this board. I believe that employment brings people respect and that people are due respect, and when they have appeals before a committee about their employment, that they need to be given a fair hearing, and I would like to be a part of that. I thank you for the opportunity to testify before you this morning, and would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. We will go, first of all, though, to, let's see... Kathy Miller. Ms. Miller, are you there?
I'm here.
Please proceed.
Hey, good morning, Chairman Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Kathy Cobalt Miller. I live at 20465 Highway 99W, P.O. Box 398 in Dundee, and our residence is located in the Dayton School District. I'm the current chairman of the Dayton School Board. I'm interested in serving on the Fair Dismissal Appeals Hearing Board for several reasons. Our district has been through the process of terminating a contracted teacher several years ago. She did appeal to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. The district's reasoning behind the termination was upheld. However, I'd like to understand the process more fully. our district follows procedures correctly, but we can always learn more through being involved. Also, my background in management, working with unionized employees at OHSU, gives me perspectives that I think may be beneficial on the board. And that's really all I had to say. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Blom, Ms. Miller, or Mr. Schultz from the committee?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and with that, I will close the public hearing. We'll switch. Committee members, given the fact that we are proceeding quite efficiently and we have a person for almost a time specific, I'm going to skip the Commission on Hispanic Affairs and go to the Commission on Black Affairs. And the first person here, I will open that public hearing for the Commission on Black Affairs for Clifford Walker and Willie Wolfuck. Mr. Wolfuck is here in person.
Walker.
Where did I get this? Okay, yes, Mr. Walker is here in person. And Mr. Wolfuck will be by phone. Mr. Walker, please proceed to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Good morning, Senators. My name is Clifford Walker, and I live in Portland, Oregon. And I have a long history of activism based in Portland. I think I bring a unique experience and valuable body of knowledge being a native son, an African-American Oregonian, and that I guess age probably 10, I volunteered to be an Oregon Green Guard, and that was a program the state of Oregon had to keep the forest green. So that was my first public service with the state. In 1961, I enlisted into the Air Force in the Oregon Governor Hatfield flight. Oregon was raising men to go to train in the Air Force, and I was very fortunate and distinguished to be one of 90 Oregonians to leave Oregon to go to Texas. So I feel that I have a commitment and a history of service to Oregon, and this opportunity is one I would like very much to be involved in. I have met many of the challenges that are present being an African American in Oregon. Again, a native, and challenging in housing, some public accommodation. All of these challenges have been in my lifetime, and I think Oregon still needs to grow, and I think I have a body of knowledge that can help in that growth. Thank you for this opportunity to come before you. If you have any questions of me, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walker. Mr. Wolfuck, are you on the phone?
He should be there.
Mr. Wolfuck, are you on the phone?
Mr. Wolfuck?
Speaking.
Oh, great.
Oh, yes. Hi, Mr. Wolfuck. Would you please proceed? Just identify yourself for the record, and if you would speak for...
I'm Willie Wolfuck, Willie Z. Wolfuck, Jr. I live in Medford, Oregon. Would you like me to continue with a little bit more about myself?
Yes, we'd like you to actually tell us a little bit about why you want to serve, how your appointment would benefit the commission, and talk to us for 2 to 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Willie Wolfuck. I live here in Southern Oregon, in Medford, Oregon. And one of the reasons what brought me to the commission was some concerns that I had about the growth of Southern Oregon and how minorities with, you know, the African American, how we would be included in that. I've been out in Medford, in this area I've been in this area since 1988, so I watched Southern Oregon grow, and my concerns with the growth is inclusion. Certain things that we have out here as far as programs or resources or whatnot for minorities is I don't see that growing along with the community. So one of my things that I've been out here for pretty close to 20 years is that I wanted to get off into some type of public service where I can help out. so to speak, bridge the gap.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Here with you, we have Mr. Walker, who's also being considered. We're at the time in our proceedings now where we go to questions. Are there any questions for Mr. Walker or Mr. Wolfert? Yes.
Mr. Chair, I actually have a question for both of them. And as we all know, these commissions have struggled the last couple of sessions, and the legislature, frankly, defunded it in 2005. And so I guess what I would ask of each of you is, what specifically are you interested in doing to raise the visibility level of the commissions before the Oregon legislature?
Okay. Mr. Walker speaking here. I do think it's important to raise visibility. As most of you may know, there was a African-American just recently racially assaulted in Redmond, Oregon, and I, at my expense, and I went to talk to the district attorney over there to find out the facts of the case for the Oregon Commission on Black Affairs, and it is a commission that needs much more support because we cannot address issues if there's no money to address issues and to do investigations. We found out a African-American was actually racially assaulted in an Oregon state-licensed establishment. An hour and 20 minutes after that assault, he was found run over by a railroad train. There are a lot of questions about this incident, and these are the kinds of things that need attention from the citizens in Oregon so people of African-American ancestry will feel safe outside of Portland and enjoying the rest of Oregon. And this is a challenge for the commission to have the kind of resources to get involved in the kinds of issues that are before us. So that's what I see. Without your support, I understand there's virtually no budget, and it's one of these commissions that's there that doesn't have the tools to do the work. So I would hopefully that you, the state would join citizens who are willing to put their money on the table to investigate, give us the kind of support necessary to make Oregon a friendlier and more livable place for everybody.
For the sake of the record, thank you, Mr. Walker. The budget actually was put back in place. There may be some question as to its adequacy, but the commissions are now funded.
I thank you for that.
Yeah. But I think that that will be a significant issue of discussion probably in coming biennials about what the adequacy of that funding should be.
My apologies.
But no apologies are necessary. Mr. Wolfuck, did you have any comment? I know that you come from a trades background.
Exactly. I do. And some of my concerns, as far as awareness is concerned, I wasn't even aware about the commission until I made a call with some of my concerns to one of our state representatives, which they pretty much informed me about the commission. And the call with some of my concerns to see if we can do anything about it. At that time, my concerns was I'm in the trade industry, and my concerns was how Southern Oregon is growing and how it relates to jobs as far as opportunities for minorities. I do think that there was a mentality out here in Southern Oregon years ago as far as race issues are concerned. It wasn't a big minority population out here. So some of those concerns for me, being that I'm in the trades, and some of the things that I've heard, some of the things that I experienced, affected me with opportunity, as well as other minorities, as far as jobs.
Okay. Well, thank you.
That was one of my main concerns. I have a 15-year-old daughter out here also who I'm concerned about as far as resources and stereotypes and things like that, places for her to go as far as to what she can relate to as far as her community is concerned. We have a lot of minorities out here, particularly Hispanic population, and they're doing things as far as their community is concerned, have things for their children, schools, they're working with the schools. As far as black people, we don't. There's no resources. So particularly as far as I'm concerned, in my trade, I had concerns about that, but being in Southern Oregon, it's more broad. I would like to see the commission
have a better influence out here.
Okay. Thank you very much, Wolf, Mr. Wolf. Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Walker.
Thank you,
Wolf. And I'll close this public hearing for the Commission on Black Affairs.
Thank you.
I am going to still not go back to the Hispanic Affairs Commission and do two more appointments so we can get closer to the time specific for the Hispanic Affairs Commission. So I will open a public hearing for the State Apprenticeship and Training Council, Mr. Paul Hill.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. My allergies have plugged up my ears, so if you can't hear me, please just let me know. I'm honored to have this opportunity to serve on the State Apprenticeship Training Council. I've worked for 19 years in community colleges, both in Michigan and here in Oregon. And for the last 12 of those years, I've been actively involved in workforce education. As you know, community colleges play a critical role in developing high-wage, high-skilled jobs that support the economy of the state, as do the apprenticeship training programs throughout the state. And the partnerships between the community colleges and the training councils are critical to making that work really well. We're doing some exciting new things about aligning curriculum in the training programs with the colleges, so there's an opportunity for more of the apprentices to get degrees, and we think that's a very good thing for the state. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Hill? Seeing no questions, I thank you very much for coming
thank
here
you.
Today and your willingness to serve. I'll close the public hearing for the State Apprenticeship and Training Council and open a public hearing for the Board of Boiler Rules. Mr. Edward Fitzrick.
Good morning, Chairman Devlin. My name is Ed Pitzrick. I live in Sandy, Oregon. I work for the Chubb Group of Insurance Companies as a risk engineer. And as part of my duties with the insurance company, I do risk evaluations and also perform jurisdictional inspections for the state of Oregon. I've got 20 years experience as a boilermaker in Colorado and Florida, and I received my commission to inspect boilers about 12 years ago, and I worked for the state of Oregon from 1995 to 1998 as a boiler inspector, and then went to the insurance industry, and I've attended the boiler board meetings pretty faithfully for several years. Chubb has designated me as a jurisdictional liaison, so I keep the corporate part of Chubb informed as to what's going on in the state of Oregon and any rules or changes in rules that would affect us as a company. I'd ask for a favorable recommendation and be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today, and look forward to considering your appointment on the Senate floor.
Thank you.
That I'll close this public hearing. I'm going to do one more, and then while I'm doing that one, if you could try to call the party.
He's in class right now.
Oh, he's in class. Okay. Well, we'll keep proceeding, and then we'll wait a little bit. Okay. Let's see. Mr. Thomas Sustrom for the Building Code Structures Board. I'll open a public hearing.
Good morning, Senator Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Tom Sustrom. I'm a licensed real estate broker in Portland, but my focus is on commercial property management. I live in Gresham. I'm nominated for appointment to the Building Code Structures Board. My background involves all kinds of building situations. I used to manage the U.S. Bank Tower. I managed all the office buildings on Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. And I currently manage about 40 different properties in the Portland area. I'm a former president of the Building Owners and Managers Association in Portland. I served on the National Building Codes Committee for the Building Owners and Managers Association. And I served on a national committee for the ASHRAE planning on heating and ventilating standards. In 1995, I was appointed by Governor Kitzhaber to the State Task Force on Seismic Reinforcing, and also in the City of Portland, I served on a task force on seismic reinforcing. So, my primary job is buildings, but codes impact buildings a lot, and I've been working around the code situation with buildings most of my professional career. So, could I answer any questions for you?
Okay. Any questions from Mr.
Schustrom? You can say it, or you can spell it, but you can't do both.
Well, I will ask a question for Senator Brown.
Okay.
To add a little levity to this.
Okay.
You do not deal with the number of necessary facilities in buildings. That would be the plumbing board. Is that correct?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, there is a method to my madness. I was just looking at the board and seeing that there's no women on the board, and one of the issues we've wrestled with over the years is the number of, shall we say, toilets in public buildings, and for those of us who had to wait in line, particularly at performing arts centers or whatever, that's an issue. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
May I respond?
Sure.
Yes.
It seemed to me...
Be careful with it.
It's now been equalized in the men's room.
Mr. Chair, there is a reason for that, and that's because Paul Allen's sister was very involved in the construction of the Rose Garden, and she worked to make sure that there was adequate facilities for women in the Rose Garden.
Yeah. to comment also as a former member of the Metro Council who works with the Metropolitan Exposition Recreation Commission, we had a number of issues over the convention center, the old Memorial Coliseum,
right,
and a number of other facilities. So, but I thank you very much for your willingness to address the issue, and thank you very much for coming here today. And I'll close the public hearing and look forward to taking action on your appointment. With that, I will move on to Rick Bosch, who's been set up for the state plumbing. Mr. Bosch.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, I think we need more restrooms. my name is Rick Bosch, and I'm applying for the plumbing board. I've been in business for 18 years and in the industry for 27 years. And I think I can bring in some, be an asset to the plumbing board. So any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Bosch? Well, I think we've dealt with the other question long enough, but I think it is an important question. I do remember, and I will not repeat his comment, a member of the Metro Council who was the presiding officer at the time when this discussion came up of the number of female facilities. He made a comment that he regretted for the rest of his life on videotape, and he regretted it most because the biggest person he had to explain it to was his spouse. So I will not repeat the comment. But with that, I'll close this public hearing and thank you very much for your willingness to serve. We will go on to Rob York with the Construction Contractors Board. Mr. York.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Rob York. I live in Aloha, Oregon. I applied to the CCC board about 10 months ago because I knew it was going to be an exciting time this next year. The legislature has charged the board with a lot of rulemaking for new license requirements, increased bonding, increased insurance, and most significantly, I think, a method and delivery system for continuing education for contractors. I'm saddened every time I read an article where a consumer has been damaged by a contractor, either through incompetence or treachery, and I'm hopeful that at least we can reduce the number of incompetence problems through education. My hope is the professionalism of the industry will be raised and consumer protection will be enhanced. So I'm here asking for your support, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Mr. York? Hearing none, thank you very much for coming today, and thank you for your willingness to serve. We will go on to the Oregon Investment Council, Keith Larson. I will open a public hearing. Mr. Larson.
Good morning, Chairman Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Keith Larson. I reside at 11 Hillshire Drive in Lake Oswego, Oregon. I currently work at Intel Corporation as a vice president of its strategic investing group, Intel Capital. My interest in serving on the Oregon Investment Council is really my passionate desire to build this state into the most desirable state in which to live and raise a family. This goal of making Oregon desirable can be accomplished in part by ensuring the economic success and security of Oregon and its citizens. The OIC plays an integral part in attaining this economic success and security for a very large number of Oregon citizens. My interest in serving in Oregon is matched by my expertise in a broad range of investments and business acumen. I bring to the OIC over 20 years of venture capital and investing experience, including my current role as vice president at Intel in managing one of the world's largest venture capital investing organizations. During my years as a professional investor, I've participated in building many private companies in Oregon and various international geographies into larger successful companies. Beyond my deep experience in investing in an alternative asset class, I'm also experienced in understanding prudent investment policies and strategies. I'm a strong believer in rigorous asset allocation, proper due diligence and selection and monitoring of managers. My experience on the investment committee at University of Portland for the past 5 years has helped polish my investment expertise by managing educational endowment. Maintaining superior results will be challenging for the OIC, but I'm confident that these challenges will create new investment opportunities. I believe that with the OIC's strong staff and good leadership, we will identify and capitalize on those opportunities. I'd like to thank you for taking the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Larson? Seeing none, I want to thank you for appearing here today and look forward to the committee taking action on your appointment later today and on the Senate floor, hopefully on Thursday. Thank you again very much for being here, and I'll close the public hearing for Mr. Larson. For the Oregon Investment Council, I will open a public hearing for Mr. Lynn Lerbach for the TriMet Board.
Good morning, Chairman Devlin, members of the committee. I want to thank you for this opportunity to testify before you, and I certainly want to thank the government, or the governor, for his confidence in offering me.
The government's rarely thanked.
You know, for me too, but I want to thank the governor for his confidence in offering me the opportunity to serve on the TriMet board. I live at 1690 Northeast 169th in Portland, Oregon, and I should say my name again, Lynn Lerbach. And you know, this offers some challenges for me. I've had the opportunity to work in transportation. I've been a Teamster representative for 25 years, so, and facing many problems, as you all know, that we've had with the movement, efficient movement of goods. That's so important. Well, the movement of people is equally important because somebody's got to get to them jobs and do the work. I know one of the number one problems that employers have expressed to us is tardiness. And their employees get caught up in the gridlock of what's existing today. Maybe a number of them don't use TriMet, but TriMet also has the same problems with gridlock. They have to use the same roadways. So I look at it as a challenge to serve on this board. Yeah. When I moved out here in 1966, I came from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and there we learned early the benefits and the opportunities to use mass transportation because it was there and we grew up with it. And the will of the people were there to use it. When I came out here, it was like coming back to the old West. It was like everybody had to ride their horse to town and hitch it up to the water. Well, I saw the same thing, and I was the same way. I got to drive my car to town. You know, I must use the car. So hopefully I can bring something to the committee and maybe new direction or new enthusiasm, but I have yet to learn. So I thank you for the opportunity to come here, and I would answer any questions you all may have.
Any questions for Mr. Lerbaugh? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here, and thank you for your willingness to serve. And you picked an interesting board to serve on. I think she didn't hear that, but I'll...
I'll report back to you, Senator.
Okay.
Well, we'll see each other and all of you. Sure. Thank you again.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. Close the public hearing for Mr. Lynn Lerbaugh for the TriMet Board. Open a public hearing on Robert Lester for the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board.
Good morning. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Dr. Bob Lester. I'm a veterinarian. I reside at 22350 Southwest 111th in Tualatin, Oregon. I'm a 1986 graduate of Oregon State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. After graduating, I went to work in a small town mixed animal practice in Myrtle Point, Oregon, after which I purchased another small-town mixed animal practice in Sweet Home, Oregon, where I worked the next 8 years. The last 13-plus years, I work in Portland with Banfield Pet Hospitals. This profession has afforded my family and I a wonderful living, and I look forward to giving back in some small way by serving on the Veterinary Medical Examining Board. I hope to help further its mission of protecting both animal and public health, as well as the consumers of veterinary services. Among the many great things about being a veterinarian is the enormous respect with which the public holds veterinarians, and I would hope that my service on this group will in some way help to continue that high standing. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lester. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and look forward to taking action on your appointment. With that, I will close the public hearing on Dr. Robert Lester, Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and we will start down our process of phone interviews. So I think we are now at the time for Mr. Michael Boyer for the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. I'll open that public hearing, and it may take a few minutes for us to get Mr. Boyer on the phone.
It's going really fast.
Yeah. Are we on the record?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I will go look for that.
What are we going to do? About 11, but we don't come back to
1.
Let me go call someone.
Yeah, I think I'll be right back. Yeah, you're going to see it pretty quickly. This looks like a report should take some time. Hello, Senator Ted.
Good, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? I see you sound like you have a cold.
Every time I think of the swamp, the mold
starts. Yeah, you haven't been here that long.
Just overnight.
Oh, man.
This is Michael Boyer.
Okay,
swamp.
Yes. Mr. Boyer?
Yes, sir.
If you would just please proceed and identify yourself for the record, tell us a little bit about why you want to be appointed and basically what you hope to do.
Okay. My name is Dennis Michael Boyer. I've been a teacher for about 8 years, I guess now. I'm teaching ESOL, that's English for Speakers of Other Languages. And my students have primarily been Hispanic students, Spanish-speaking students. I would like to be an advocate for my students and their families. I would like to be able to help give a voice to a population I feel is underrepresented in most public dialogue. And my hope is to to do just that, to be an advocate and express the needs and concerns of the Hispanic community here in Lincoln County.
Any questions for Mr. Boyer?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I ask a couple questions?
Yes.
Okay. Two questions, Mr. Boyer. Have you ever served on a legislative commission before, or executive commission, board, one of Oregon's board and commissions?
No, ma'am, I have not.
Okay. And my other question, my sister is an ESL teacher. They call it ESL in Minnesota. And I was just curious, do you actually speak Spanish? I couldn't tell from your resume or interest form.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you. I was just curious. I really appreciate your willingness to serve on this commission. We had a discussion earlier on the advocacy commissions. The legislature defunded the advocacy commissions in 2005. We have since restored funding. Thank you, Senator Devlin. But I am really hoping that the commissions will see a higher degree of visibility in front of the Oregon legislature. And just curious as to how you have any thoughts about how you might help that happen.
Could you rephrase the question?
Sure. Because the legislature has cut funding for the advocacy commissions, they've really struggled to find a voice and be visible in front of the Oregon legislature. We have since provided funding. I can argue with folks whether that was adequate or not, but I certainly wouldn't say inadequate funding. But are there ways you think you can help raise the level of visibility of this particular commission, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, in front of the Oregon Legislature?
I'm not exactly sure how I would raise the visibility of the commission. I know that once I learn a little bit more about it from working and with the commission and gaining some experience, I believe that I'll do all that I can with the funding that's available to advocate and bring issues and things of importance for the community, the Hispanic community, to light. I'm not really sure about the funding aspect of things yet. I haven't seen a budget or any of those kind of things. But working with what I have, I would do my very best to bring those important issues before the governor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think you have a good teacher in Ms. Farrington, so.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Boyer, let's see if we have any more questions.
Excuse me, sir?
I'm just seeing if we have any more questions. Seeing no questions, I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. We will take action later today in recommending your appointment to the full Senate, and the Senate will take action on Thursday. Thank you very much for appearing.
Thank you, sir.
Close the public hearing on Mr. Boyer for the Hispanic Affairs Commission. I will now open a hearing, and it will take us some time to get everyone on the phone, for the Commission for Women, for Nina Cook, Donna Harris, Megan Harris,
Jack Holt.
And so we'll be at ease here for just a moment. While we're at ease, maybe I should put something on the record just for the sake of the record. The commissions have had a very difficult time. They were actually defunded in 2003.
Oh, it wasn't five?
Right.
Okay.
They were funded in 2005. However, they went through extremely difficult times during the 2005 biennium, not due to the fault of the commissions, because honestly, the commissions united together to work with what resources they had and with what staff resources they had. They had a very difficult time in terms of, it took a long time to have an executive director. That director during 2005 did not work out. The position stayed vacant. They were refunded in 2007. That's when Ms. Farrington came on, right before the start of that biennium. She has a long history with the Women's Commission. I could say decades, but that would be much of an exaggeration and would embarrass her. But I think we're in good hands now, and she has already made the plea for the adequacy of her budget, and which makes her equal to every other state administrator. And I'm sure we'll be making that case again in the future. future. With that, we will see if we have some parties on the phone, and we'll just wait for a few moments here if we'll stand at ease. And can we kill the mic so people aren't on the record? For the Commission for Women, for Nina Cook, Donna Harris, and Megan Harris Chakoit.
Are you on the line?
Yes.
Okay, we will start off with Ms. Cook. If you'll please identify yourself for the record, state basically why you want this appointment, what you hope to achieve, and you have 3 to 4 minutes to do that in.
Thank you. This is Nina Cook, morning, Senators. I am seeking appointment for the Commission for Women. As I stated in my materials that I submitted, I hope that my background of 16 years as a practicing lawyer in the area predominantly of employment law would give me a unique perspective to assist the commission in attaining its mission of establishing the economic, social, legal, and political equality for women. I am aware by looking at the agenda that I just received on Friday that the Commission has been working for some time to collaborate with Foley on many of the issues that impact women in those areas, and I'd like to use the experience I have had with Foley to assist in that regard and continue with the work the Commission has done for a number of years.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cook. Our practice here is to go through the testimony of each of the three parties, and then we will come back to questions. Ms. Harris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please proceed.
My name is Donna Harris, and my reason for joining the Commission for Women is I have a very unique perspective. I've actually risen up from generational poverty. In fact, I graduated from Portland State University on June 16th with 3 degrees.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm actually enrolled in the Master's of Conflict Resolution at Portland State University starting in the fall. So I've made a lot of personal achievements, and I really feel like I have a lot to offer from that perspective of someone who's lived in poverty, but also someone who has managed to escape it. And I've done that by using a lot of the organizations and agencies, and so I'm really excited about the opportunity to represent women in some places.
Thank you very much. Ms. Harris Chakoit.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Megan Harris Chakoit. I actually go by Megan Chakoit, but my legal name is Harris Chakoit. I'm looking for the opportunity to serve the women of the state of Oregon, and I have a little bit different perspective. Like Ms. Cook, I'm an attorney. I represent primarily women and juveniles in Coos County. Mm-hmm. I'm also a mother of 5 children, and I've worked the whole time that I have been. So I'm kind of looking forward to representing both rural women and working moms on the commission. I'm grateful to be able to share in the work that the committee is doing. Like Ms. Cook, I believe that the only issues are very important. I'm told
you
have my interest
statement.
I'm also prepared to answer all questions that you have. Thank you.
Ms. Harris Jaco, we're now ready for questions. I did notice that in your resume that you have a very interesting background, and I think part of your law degree is in maritime law, and you also served as a public defender.
That's correct.
So
I have never done any maritime law work, but I do have the certificate from Tulane. I started right out doing appeals and criminal work, and I worked at the public defender's office until a few years ago when I opened my own office.
Any questions for the appointees? Seeing no questions, I want to thank you all for being willing to to testify here today by phone, and appreciate everyone here appreciates your willingness to serve. We will take action on your appointments relatively soon, and the Senate should take action on Thursday. With that, I will close this public hearing, and again appreciate you all being here.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing. We have one final public hearing. I will open a public hearing on the State Board of Tax Practitioners, Mr. Gutierrez. We will still stand at ease for a few minutes while Mr. Gutierrez, we're able to get him on the phone. I have already opened a public hearing for the State Board of Tax Practitioner for Mr. Jess Gutierrez. Mr. Gutierrez, if you could please proceed, identify yourself for the record, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to serve.
Okay, Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Jess Gutierrez. I'm at 8329 Northwest Hagel Pine Street, Portland, Oregon, 97229. I believe the board exists to serve the needs of the public by setting and enforcing standards of conduct for the tax preparation industry. I firmly believe these standards should be met by all tax professionals, both big and small. As a former naval officer, I know the meaning of public trust, service, and dedication to duty. As a tax professional, I have firsthand experience in both running a successful business and meeting the public expectations of the industry. Of bringing these qualities to the tax board, working with the board to improve the trust of the industry and trust overall. I know there's some complex issues out there for both small, big and small firms, but I believe we should level the playing field as such by setting and enforcing the standards set forth by the board. I would just like to say it would be honored to be part of this process, and I would work diligently to address all the complex issues. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gutierrez. Any questions? Seeing no questions, again, I'd like to thank you for your willingness to appear here by phone. We will act on your appointment later today, and the Senate will take action on Thursday. Again, I thank you again, and I will close this public hearing on Jessica Terrace for the State Board of Tax Practitioners. Members of the committee, at this point, which many of you are used to, particularly Senators Brown, Ferrioli, and Atkinson, and I think Senator Vakian has been on this committee.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, this is Jess.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gutierrez. I already closed the public hearing, but I'll reopen it for a moment just in case you had something more you wanted to add.
Oh, no, sir, I did not. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Is Atkinson, are you still there? Senator Atkinson?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Okay, now that we have everybody here, I understand the practice here. Most of you are familiar with this. I'm not as familiar with it, but I have to go through a very long script and go through all of these motions. So please bear with me. I will try not to do my reader imitation. I'm opening a work session and moving the reappointment of Melinda Eden to the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Planning Council to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If none, so ordered. I'm closing the work session. I'm opening a work session and moving the reappointment of Ray Baum to the Public Utility Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. I'm opening a work session moving the reappointment of Darcy Baker to the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Susan Rossiter to the Employment Relations Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the reappointment of Mustafa
Kasubai
to the Workers' Compensation Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Michael Harper Daniel Klein, Robert Schlachter, to the State Commission on Children and Families, to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Penny Blaine, Kathy Miller, and Richard Schultz to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If no objection, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving appointment of D. Michael Boyer to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session moving the appointments of Clifford Walker and Willie Wolfolk to the Commission on Black Affairs to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Paul Hill to the State Apprenticeship and Training Council to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Edward Pitzrick to the Board of Boiler Rules to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Thomas Sustrom to the Building Code Structures Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Rick Bosch to the State Plumbing Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Rob York to the Construction Contractors Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Keith Larson to the Oregon Investment Council to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Lynn Lauerbach to the TriMet Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Robert Lester to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Nina Cook, Donna Harris, and Megan Harris Jackote to the Commission for Women to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Jessica Terrace to the State Board of Tax Practitioners to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. I'm closing this work session. At this particular point, committee, we have proceeded much faster than anticipated. We will be back here at 1 o'clock. We'll go from 1 to 2:30, probably take just about a five-minute break from 2:30. Hopefully we'll be done by 2:30 with that group. Go on to another group that we will hopefully get through to before 4, and I hope to have you out of here by 4 today. And with that, I will recess the committee till 1 o'clock.
Senator Atkinson? We will call you after the Health Fund Board. Is that okay?
What time will it be?
I would imagine that it will be after
1:30. Fantastic.
Would that work?
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the accommodation of the guy on the phone.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Interim Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments for September 10th, 2007. We completed our morning work actually early, so everybody's had a good break. We are now going to go from 1 to 2:30, and we might have a short five-minute break then, and then we have more appointments to do for the rest of the afternoon. The appointments over the next hour and a half are to several different boards, one of them brand new. We would ask people to limit their testimony to 3 to 5 minutes. We will, as each board comes up, we will wait till the presentations from all the members of that particular board before we go to questions. So with that, I'm going to open a public hearing on the Oregon Health Fund Board and I will name all the parties that are being appointed to that board, and then I will call three of them up. The parties are Jonathan Ader, Eileen Brady, Tom Chamberlain, Charles Hoffman, Raymond Meow,
Meow,
Marcus Monday, William Thorndike. Let's see. Mr. Ader, Ms. Brady, and Mr. Hoffman, would you all come forward?
Do I need to start?
Yes, Mr. Ader, please start.
Chairman Devlin and members of the committee, I'm Jonathan Ader. I live in Portland. I think I know all of you, at least casually. The chairman and I had the privilege of serving the last 3 years together on the Oregon Health Policy Commission. This new health fund board has an opportunity to continue the work of the commission, and really with the opportunity now to be more richly staffed and bring new perspectives to bear, I think we have a reasonable chance of bringing the legislature some ideas in 2009 that might make a real difference for health care in Oregon. In fact, we're going to try to bring you a proposal for an insurance exchange in 2008. At least the legislation asks us to do that. That's a big job in the time that we've had. I think you've probably all had a chance to look at my interest questionnaire. I work in healthcare as I am a lawyer for a long time in the same law firm that I started practicing in the day I stopped clerking for Judge Solomon, but it has a different name, same telephone number. But I've worked around healthcare as a lawyer and advisor for 15 or 20 years. Particularly, I've had a strong interest in mental health issues as well as the business and economics of healthcare. I was co-chair of the governor's 2004 mental health task force. So I bring some background and some interest and some passion to these issues, and I remain optimistic that we can do something that's a lot smarter than we're doing now. I'd be happy to answer any questions when the time comes.
Ms. Brady.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Eileen Brady. I'm co-owner of New Seasons Market, co-founder and co-owner grocery chain in Portland, Oregon. Also the board chair and co-owner of a smaller company named Celilo Group Media. So I have experience with larger companies and smaller companies. Absolutely committed to resolving this issue of healthcare access for all. I think we've got the talent, we've got the resources, and I believe the political will at this point. It's just a matter of putting the pieces together in the right order. So I'm excited to participate in this process, and I have some tremendous colleagues, which I'm just meeting. I look forward to working with them, and feel free to ask me any questions.
Dr. Hoffman.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Chuck Hoffman. I'm an internist from Baker City, Oregon. Effective, affordable health care for all is a mantra that I've tried to work on at the state level as well as the national level for many years. It's an honor for me to be able to serve on this committee. I look forward to it, and be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. We will hold questions for now. If the three, Mr. Ader, Ms. Brady, and Dr. Hoffman, if you could please be seated in the first row, that would be beneficial. I will now go also to the two people left that are here in person, Marcus Monday and William Thorndike.
Put on this, please. Good afternoon, Chairman Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Bill Thorndike. I'm a businessman from Medford, Oregon, have a steel fabrication company, and really agree with comments earlier that I think we have an opportunity with Senate Bill 329 having created a map for us to now hopefully work on some of the paths and trails and hopefully expressways that we can bring together information over the next year and a half or two so that in different sessions of the legislature, we'll have some opportunities to address access, value, and quality, and look forward to that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am Marcus Mundy. I'm president and CEO of the Urban League of Portland, but I am also a small business owner. I own a healthcare, compliance, regulatory, and finance consulting, and I've been involved in healthcare since 1983. That was my first job at a hospital, and Medicare, Medicaid reimbursement issues. So I've been in this milieu for quite a while, but I'm anxious to participate in this committee, in this Oregon Health Fund Board, because of my interest in my current position for access and for issues healthcare disparities and access for communities of color, but for all Oregonians. So I'm anxious to answer any questions regarding this, and I look forward to the opportunity to work with you all and the committee.
Thank you very much. Since we do have one of our parties on the phone, I will go to them now. Mr. Chamberlain, are you there?
Yes, Chair Devlin, this is Tom Chamberlain, and for the record, my name is Tom Chamberlain. My address is 10744 Southwest 43rd Avenue, Portland, Oregon, and I am president of the Oregon AFL-CIO. My interest in being on this committee stems from my experience with the healthcare system. I served for 6 years on two labor management healthcare boards, one with the Port of Portland, one with the City of Portland. But I think the perspective I bring as a firefighter with 27-year service, six of those as a paramedic, I was able to view our healthcare system from the street up. I understand the strain that uninsured folks put on not only the public safety providers, who actually, for folks who don't have healthcare, their first line of defense, and our emergency room systems. But more importantly, I have seen the strain this puts on working families, those folks who don't have health care, who have to rely on those types of services to get health care. And whatever I can do to provide more health care to folks, develop a system that can contain costs and put more transparency in the system, I want to be involved with. I think this is an important juncture in Oregon's history, and I think we can do some great things with this program.
Thank you, Mr. Chamberlain. Is Mr. Meow on the phone? Mr. Meow?
Yes, I am.
Yes, if you would please just start off and state your name and address for the record, or actually don't have to have address, just city. City is fine. And just some of your interest in serving on the board.
Okay, Larry
Rainey
out. I'm getting
a
feedback here.
Yeah,
it's because of Timberland on the phone over there.
Hello?
Yep.
We can hear you.
Okay, I'll just go ahead. I live at 206A3 Pine Vista Drive in the booming town of Bend, Oregon now. My interest in serving on the board is, one, I've had a personal experience with being uninsured. Even though I was able and willing to pay for health insurance after my wife and I retired, I know that people who are uninsured aren't just those who can't afford insurance or don't want to be uninsured. I think we're facing a situation where a lot of baby boomers are going to be retiring early, necessarily have insurance coverage from their employers, and will find, because of the medications they're taking, uninsurable. Okay. An interesting situation where you're doing what your physician tells you to do, and it's in the best interest of your own health, future illnesses, and you become uninsured. Also, at the present time, I'm the volunteer state president for AARP Oregon. I also know what it's like to be an elected official, because I'm in my fourth term as the elected board member for the Deschutes Public Library System.
Okay. Thank you very much. Here, for those of you on the phone, we have four members of the committee, Senators Brown, Ferrioli, Anavakian, and myself, Senator Devlin. Do we have any questions for any of the parties that have been put forward by the governor? Yes, Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not really a question, just a statement, and also to those folks on the telephone, of appreciation. I really thank you for being willing to extend yourselves in this direction and to try to get your arms around a very difficult issue. I'm gratified that we have such a broadly based committee of small business people, folks that have experience in signing, you know, the front side of a paycheck. That's a really good thing. Medical practitioners and those that have vast experience in trying to get some of the answers to these questions. If it were as simple as just more money, I don't think we'd need this committee. It isn't going to be that easy. So I wish you good speed, and I can tell you, at least from my perspective, the legislature is anxious to look at your recommendations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. A couple of items. One, on a personal note, simply because I believe, and the committee will not understand this, I believe I will not have the opportunity to do this. I had a conversation with Mr. Thorndike outside the room, and while I did not mix up his name, I mixed up his association. So it's my age.
Senator, as you know, there's lots of alphabet soup in the state of Oregon. OBC, OBA, AY,
yes.
PBA.
It's all the same. Yeah.
But the other thing I'd like to do is, in a sense, I know just how daunting your task is, having served on the Oregon Health Policy Commission. Personally, I've actually had the fortune to only serve on one standing committee related to health care, the Human Services Committee, in the 97 session. Since that time, I've been, though, on so many task forces, they're almost hard to list relative to health care. But I can remember coming into the building, speaking to then Governor Kitzhaber, saying, "Governor, the only area I really do not want to work in is health care. There are just too many interests, too much complexity. You can't ever get anybody satisfied for long enough to make a decision on anything." And so I spent the next 11 years in one way or another working on health care. But I just wanted to wish you all well. Your service is very much appreciated. I know that your task is daunting. So if you have any comments or if we have any more questions. Okay. I want to thank you again all for being here. The committee will take action later this afternoon on your appointments, and I'm confident that the Senate will take action this Thursday on your appointments. And with that, I will close the public hearing for the Oregon Health Fund Board. And I will open a public hearing for the State Board of Higher Education, Mr. Paul Kelly.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Okay. Can we do this?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do this. Mr. Kelly, we are technically now a subcommittee of the committee, but I think things will be fine. Committees will come back as you are speaking, or committee members. So if you will start off and just identify yourself for the record, tell us a little bit about yourself. Many of us know you. And just a little bit about why you want to serve on the Board of Higher Education.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Devlin, Senator Vakian, and other members of the committee as they return. My name is Paul Kelly, for the record. I live in Portland, where I have lived for about 36 years. I also practice law there part-time now, since retiring from Nike, with the law firm Garvey Schubert Bear. It's an honor, frankly, to be here with the opportunity to serve on the Board of Education, which I think is a vital state board, one in pursuit of educational excellence in Oregon, which I know you strongly are committed to. I have a long and abiding commitment to public education. I think my resume in the application indicates that, and I just want to touch on two things quickly. One is the work over the years at Nike. I'm very pleased with what is Nike's longstanding commitment to the support of public education throughout Oregon, and I take a little bit of pleasure in participating in that effort while I was there in the public affairs and government affairs arena. The one other area that I mentioned that I'm particularly proud of is my association with OBA over the years. On the board for about 5 years and chaired that board from 2002 to 2003. And I think, as you know, the OBA has had public education as its number one priority or near the top of its priority list for the past several years. I think this Board of Education, frankly, for me, is probably the optimum opportunity in voluntary public service to pursue educational excellence in Oregon. It's vital to the business community, the state in general, and in particular to our young people. I know we have a lot of people to vet, so I'll end my comments there. I'd be happy to take any questions and respectfully look for your support for my appointment. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Kennedy?
No.
Hearing none, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for being willing to serve. Close the public hearing for the State Board of Higher Education, Mr. Paul Kelly. Open a public hearing on the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, Mr. Peter Bragman and Diane Daggett. Would you both please come forward? Mr. Bragman, why don't you start off?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. You have my statement of interest, so I can go through any parts of my background that you like, but I'm Vice President and General Counsel at Columbia Sportswear Company, one of the major importers in the country, very active in international trade, and I oversee the trade department within our company, so I have experience, I think, in matters that relate to the Port of Portland. But more important to me, I would be interested in this position if I was not at Columbia. You have a lot of important appointments that you look at and a lot of different functions of the state. I don't think a lot of these things can happen without meaningful economic development in the state and having vibrant ports, and I'll put an S on that, so I'm not just talking about the Port of Portland, are critical to having a strong economic development presence and policy in the state. And I think that ranges throughout the state from agricultural communities that are using the port to export or companies like my own that are bringing things in. So that's my main interest, I think, to actually have opportunity in this state all across the board. We need to have a port that's very vibrant and has people there who see the future for it. So that's my main interest. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. We will go to Ms. Daggett first and then go to questions. Ms. Daggett.
Thank you, Chairman Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Diane Daggett. I live in Hillsboro, Oregon, and I also am fortunate to have a two-mile commute by working in Hillsboro, Oregon, for Intel Corporation, where I have responsibility for Intel's outward-facing philanthropy education program, government relations in the United States. My interest, similar to Peter's in the Port of Portland Commission, is aligned with my longstanding both professional and personal passion for economic development and economic growth. I consider the Port of Portland to be a strategic advantage that Oregon has. I certainly know that it's vital to us as Oregon's largest employer for the movement not only of our employees, but of our goods and also via sea, the transport of our equipment that comes in. So every area of the Port of Portland touches a company like Intel that operates in a global economy, and I think the port has done in the past a magnificent job of leveraging that capability to the benefit of all Oregonians, not just large businesses like ours. And I would like to be a part of the strategic decision-making that will continue to move it into whatever the next areas of economic growth and economic development are in the state of Oregon. So I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee might have. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Mr. Bragman or Ms. Daggett? Well, thank you both for coming before the committee. Thank you for being willing to serve, and looking forward to the good work that the port is going to do in the future.
Thanks for
in addition to the work they've already done.
Thank you, Chair. And I assume if they have any questions, Ms. Price will take care of them.
Okay. With that, I will close the public hearing for the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, and we will move on to Linda Barno with the... I'll open the public hearing for Linda Barno for the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee, or affectionately known to legislators as MLAC.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Linda Barno, 3200 Northwest Yen Boulevard in Portland, Oregon, 97296. I've been nominated for a management position on the Management Labor Advisory Committee. I've been involved in workers' compensation since 1987, first as a claims examiner that oversaw state and federal jurisdictions, and currently my position is as the workers' compensation manager for a large self-insurer, Schuster Self Industries. My job as a workers' compensation manager is twofold. It's maintaining a self-insured program that meets all the regulatory needs put on by the state, and also to meet the needs of our workers, who we feel are our most valuable resource. In the past, I've attended most of the MLAC full and subcommittee meetings, as I have a strong commitment to the MLAC process. I've worked closely with members of past committees on a variety of issues as the Oregon Self-Insurers Association Legislative Committee co-chair. I've had the opportunity to participate in other states' self-insured legislative committees. I am on occasion asked why Oregon does such a good job. I'm quick to reply that I feel that MLAC is a great partnership with Oregon legislature to create a stable workers' compensation system. I think MLAC is one of the partners that has provided a compensation system that leads the nation as one of the lowest costs to employers and yet receives some of the best benefits to injured workers. I'm aware that MLAC deals with tough issues, using a public forum for discussion and data from workers' compensation to explore and resolve issues. The workers' compensation system is complicated, and the MLAC committee provides advice for legislature as it crafts any changes in the system. This partnership helps to provide a workers' compensation system that is stable and vital. I'm absolutely committed to maintaining the employee relationship, and our return-to-work programs are outstanding. When we go out and about, and they're talking about return-to-work like it's a new idea, and we've been doing it well for over 20 years. I'm honored to have been nominated for this position, and thank you for the opportunity to testify, and if you have any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Barnum? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for being willing to serve. With that, I will close the public hearing for the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. I will open a public hearing for the State Board of Forestry for Mr. Peter Hayes and Mr. Kelvin Makamoto. If they would both come forward, and if they could speak for 3 to 5 minutes about identify themselves, identify where they are interested in serving on the board, identify what they hope to do on the board, and also after they are finished, we will go to questions to them, but then we will have 3 members of the public that wish to testify also. So why don't we start off, Mr. Hayes?
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Peter Hayes. I live in Portland, Oregon. My statement of interest summarizes my interests and qualifications, and because of that, I'm going to focus on 2 points that I think are significant. If I am confirmed, I'd be honored to serve. Though I have not sought this opportunity, if I'm confirmed, I'm ready, willing, and eager to commit the careful thought, effort, and time necessary to serve to the best of my abilities. The next 12 months have the potential to be a time of significant transition in the makeup of the Board of Forestry. If I'm confirmed, I'm committed to supporting a smooth transition in at least 2 ways. First is maintaining continuity of direction by using tools such as the Forestry Plan for Oregon and the plans for the state forests as a foundation for discussion and decision making. And secondly, insisting on using the best available science as the basis for discussions and decision making. My second point is family forests are important to Oregon. They're important economically, ecologically, and culturally. Throughout the state and the country, family forests are in trouble. East of the Cascades in Oregon, they're in extreme trouble. For the Board of Forestry to fulfill its responsibilities, I feel it needs at least 1 member who bring the perspectives, experience, connections, and drive of an active family forest landowner. If I'm confirmed, I'd provide a family forest perspective, not to be confused with the family forest perspective. So I'm honored to speak with you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. McMahon. Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Calvin Mukamoto, and I live in reside in Bend, Oregon. I am a certified forester of the Society of American Foresters, a member of the U.S. Board of the Forest Stewardship Council, and currently I'm project manager for the Warm Springs Biomass Energy Project. I have 30 years working as a professional forester with private, tribal, state, and federal organizations. Thank you for your consideration of my nomination to the State Board of Forestry. Excuse me. My interest in this appointment is to help create a sustainable future for Oregon and its forests. Given the measures of environment, economics, and community, I believe in the potential for Oregon to lead the nation in sustainability. Sustainable activities in our forests will provide revenue and jobs, enhance wildlife and fish habitat, and not only protect old growth but also our communities. From the beginning of my career, which started as a forester for the Colorado State Forest Service, I have found that collaboration with communities, reliance on sound science, is the pathway to successful forestry projects. Currently, I am chair of the multi-party monitoring team of the Metolius Forest Management Stewardship Pilot. I am also working on the Glazed Mills Project with Oregon Wild and the U.S. Forest Service to demonstrate a sustainable approach to forest restoration and hazardous fuels reduction. These projects are examples of cooperation and collaboration between industry, community members, conservationists, and the tribes. As a member of the U.S. Board of Directors for the Forest Stewardship Council, I represent the Social Chamber. I have always believed the vision of the community is the bridge that defines wise management between economic and environmental benefits, demands of the forest. I hope to support this view on the Oregon State Board of Forestry, in the management of our forests, and in the greater discussion of desired future condition of our Oregon forests. As a board member, I will always work first for the public at large in the state of Oregon. Again, thank you for your consideration of my nomination, and I'm very happy to answer any questions. Thank you. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Not seeing any at this time. Would you both be so kind as to sit in the front row in case there are any questions that come up from witnesses this afternoon? I will go to the sign-in sheet, and if those parties that I call up, and I'm going to call you... Actually, I think you could all sit together. That would be best for the state. Mr. Mink Goddard, Ray Wilkerson, and Mr. Bob Van Dyke, or Von Dyke. And if you could please limit your testimony to 3 to 5 minutes, and we will wait for questions until we get through all three of you. And so we'll start off. The first person called up was Mr. God. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this. Blame phonics if I'm not. Mr. Goddard.
Sir Devlin, members of the committee, thank you very much indeed. It's a perfect rendition of the name. I don't think I'd have done much better myself. Good afternoon. My name is Mike Goddard. I'm the executive director of Oregon Small Woodlands Association. The association has 3,000 volunteer family woodland owners from all parts of the state. Our vision is to see that privately owned family woodlands are a thriving part of Oregon's landscape in 2050. We do not oppose any of the nominations in front of you today. However, we do have concerns about the process, these appointments, and the treatment of current volunteer board members as it relates to being able to recruit and retain willing and capable volunteers in the future, which is a cornerstone of our association. We have lost valuable Eastern Oregon voices in a time when our Eastern Oregon forests and communities that depend upon them face many economic and social and environmental challenges. At least one of these voices has been asked to be reappointed. To not do so has broken a tradition which we feel helps to ensure the non-politicization of the Board of Forestry appointments, reappointments, and could affect board continuity. Due to the complexities of our natural resource issues we face today, we strongly urge the committee to consider the impact of these and three potential appointments that may occur within the next 4 months, especially upon the continuity, even in light of the FPFO and work management plans. issues currently under consideration by the board could dramatically impact, have a dramatic impact upon the people making the decisions about the long-term future of the 4.4 million acres of family forests in Oregon. Many of these are in highly important areas, close to urban centers, and provide a variety of benefits to our state. We stand ready as an association to assist in future recruitment processes to ensure that well-grounded, viable policies and rules are developed and implemented for the greatness of this state. We thank you for your consideration today.
Mr. Van Dyke.
Chair Devlin, Senators, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Bob Van Dyke, and I work for the Wild Salmon Center. I'm here today to say that we support these two nominees and the package of four nominees that is before you. We think it's a good mix of retaining some members who will keep some institutional memory and continuity on the board, but also adding some new things, some connections to forest certification, connections to the tribes, and also connections to family forest lands. So we think this slate will serve the state well. I want to say, too, looking forward, we continue to look forward to future opportunities to add some diversity on the board. In particular, we'd like to see a chance for a leader from the conservation community to serve on the board of forestry. A fish biologist seems like another potential good addition. Thank you for the opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Mr. Wilkerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ray Wilkerson with the Oregon Forest Industries Council, representing private forest landowners who are regulated by this board. We, like Mr. Gudern said, for the smallwood owners, we don't oppose these nominations. We don't know these two gentlemen very well. I just met them myself within the last 10 days or 2 weeks. If they are confirmed by the Senate, time will tell what impact, what footprint they leave on the history pages of the state in terms of forest policy. But I would like to echo some of the comments that Mike Gudern made about the process. I think you know that both of these gentlemen are being appointed to positions currently held by people who could have been reappointed and were willing to be willing to continue to serve, and they were not. And I've been around the Board of Forestry now for about 21 years, and in my recollection, that has never happened before, and particularly with no apparent reason for making a change. I mean, the real question is the board, the makeup of the board is being changed, and I'm not sure we understand the reason for it. As far as I know, the two departing board members were not told if they'd done anything wrong, or if they did do something wrong, they weren't told what that was. So it's a question of what, you know, what's the reason for that. You know, if there was some major policy initiative in forestry that the legislature was pursuing, felt very strongly about, that somehow this board was thwarting, or the governor had a major policy initiative that he was thought was very important, and this board was getting in the way of that, you know, that would explain it. But I'm not aware of that either. I do know that there are members of the conservation community who have publicly stated that they believe this board is, quote, out of balance, and that somehow it's too cozy with the forest industry, and that they've asked the governor publicly to make changes to correct that perceived imbalance. We would hope that you, as senators, would not accept that at face value and challenge that notion. The question that we've pushed back with is, what has this board done or failed to do that would support the notion that it is somehow failing to represent the public interest as a whole, which is what it's charged to do by law? We don't believe that the critics of this board can point to a single specific tangible example of that, of something this board has done that's contrary to the public interest or would indicate a bias towards one constituency group or another. The biggest issue before the Board of Forestry right now is the management of state forests. The timber industry and the counties, who are the beneficiaries of the revenues off those state forests, have been pounding the Board of Forestry for several years now to change the plan to increase logging. The board has resisted that pressure. One other example, and I'll stop. Roughly a year ago, this board adopted two new stream protection rules under the Forest Practices Act, both of which significantly impact the ability of private forest landowners to manage their land profitably. One of those, ORFIC opposed. Several legislators testified in front of the Board of Forestry in opposition to that rule. The board adopted it anyway. I think that's a remarkable thing, particularly in a post-Measure 37 environment, to have a state board to adopt regulation that's restricting the use of private property. So, again, we have no reason to have anything ill to say about either of these nominees, but the real question is, you know, what's broken here that needs fixing? And there's no clear answer to that, and that's what's somewhat troubling about this, about these appointments and the place we are at the moment. So thank you for your time.
Okay. Any questions for any of the three gentlemen? Seeing none, thank you for coming forward. Could the two appointees come back forward in case there are any questions? And I did want to put a couple of items on the record. If the two gentlemen would come forward, Mr. Hayes and Mr. Makamoto. I think we all recognize the importance of forests in Oregon for a multitude of different reasons. And I had a somewhat enlightening experience serving on the as the chair of the subcommittee on natural resources in the last session, and actually had a lot of time with the director and some of the director's deputies with the Board of Forestry, and I can tell you that I believe that they are doing a very good job in a lot of different areas. I just wanted to put it on the record that my understanding is that there's not an opposition to your appointments, but also that we understand that there are other appointments that come up next year to the board, and I'm just hoping that clearly recognizing the authority of the governor and respecting the authority of the governor to determine who he wants to put forward to appoint, that he works with the legislature, and this is not a partisan thing, but I've made an offer to my colleague, the leader of the other party on the floor, to work with him to try to work on the next set of appointments and see if we can come to some resolution where everyone feels comfortable. I know that that's a very optimistic viewpoint, but I would rather talk to people than not talk to people and try to resolve differences than just try to avoid them. But I did want to wish you both well. Some people have said I'm punishing my staff, and if they're listening, that might be true. I asked them to read the minutes for the board for the last 4 years.
Oh, Richard.
And to point out to me different areas in which they had discussed from a specific nature individual board members' issues that might be issues where different interests have different perspectives on issues. And I can tell you that I found most things to be relatively straightforward. I found the board's deliberations to be fairly straightforward. I did not really find a great deal of bias in any of the statements that the board had made. And I did see that, and I know people have a difference of opinion about this, it was very clear that the board operates from a standpoint of consensus, rather than a standpoint of, trying to come to 3 to 4 votes or that. So I wish you both well, and hopefully we'll see you again. And hopefully we will take action later today, and the Senate will take action Thursday. And
I left a message about a little while ago for Steve.
Oh, Senator Atkinson, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, Senator Atkinson was unable to join us.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Did you have anything additional to add?
No. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator. Well, thank you both very much, and I will close.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. I actually didn't see.
Oh, that's okay. First of all, I want to thank the chairman for his offer to work together across party lines and working toward agreement on confirmations. The history of the issues that came before this committee and confirmations to this board have been just demonstrate how closely people watch these issues and how very involved they become and how viscerally these things can approach people and affect people. The Board of Forestry promulgates rules that apply to private land, public land, state forests, and by agreement even the federal lands. So it's a huge charge. I want to just also thank Mr. Snyder and Mr. Heffernan for their service to the people of the state of Oregon. They've done a wonderful job on the Board of Forestry. And to welcome these two gentlemen to the Board of Forestry, they have a heritage and a history to uphold. And it is one where people have resisted the politicization. Perhaps the only arena where we've been able to do that in forestry has been the board. So I would hope that you could... I'm sorry, it was Diane Snyder. Yeah. I would hope that you could continue that, and that the future selections, and I'm speaking directly to the governor's staff here, reflect a desire to maintain a balance that people can clearly apprehend when they hear the deliberations and see the direction of the Board of Forestry. So welcome, gentlemen, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your kind offer to work together for the next confirmations, whomever the governor chooses to nominate. And thank you particularly to Chris Heffernan and Diane Snyder for their service to Oregonians. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. And I want to also thank the two board members that are leaving also for their service. And with that, I will close the public hearing. And thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Colleagues, we were going to go till 2:30, and what I'm planning on doing is I have at least two to three people here that were 2:30 appointments. I'm going to go to those and see just how far we can go before we have to take a break. So I'm going to go to Mr. Clem first, and if I can go way down here, to the and I will open a public hearing for the Director of the Oregon Department of Aviation, Mr. Dan Clem, and then I will be going to Mr. Lewis.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the subcommittee. My name is Dan Clem, for the record, and I am a candidate for the position of Director of the Department of Aviation. I want to thank you very much for being flexible in your schedule. There's a National Aviation Conference in Portland, which I'm hosting, so I wanted to run down and make sure that I could answer any questions you may have. So, again, I very much appreciate your flexibility in helping me arrange this in my schedule. As you can see from my statement of interest, I have a strong passion for aviation. My experience in airports management has been limited in the past to that in the military, but as a Corps of Engineer officer retired from the U.S. Army, I had quite a bit of experience working with the federal government, working with airports, working with grant programs, and working with contracts. My previous positions here with the state of Oregon have been the state fleet manager and also a contracting manager within the Department of Administrative Services, and previous to that, the legislature, upon my retirement from the Army. I have a strong interest in serving Oregon in a number of ways. Airports are vital to our communities. They're looking many communities across the state, both counties and cities and ports, are going through visioning processes, and they're asking the question, how can we improve the quality of life and the economic base of our communities? And airports always seem to come up. I want to thank the legislature and the governor for their support in multimodal transportation efforts as well. And I've got some experience with regard to a number of transportation issues in my other roles as a city councilor for the city of Salem. I'm very much involved in transportation issues there. So I understand how critical aviation is to any and all communities, and working very closely with the State Aviation Board, very excited about the opportunity to continue to serve Oregon and help communities. With that, I'm honored to be here, and I thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Klein?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
A comment, not a question. Mr. Klein, I just am concerned about our rural airports. The legislature's made some recent significant investments in, I think, the North Bend Coos Bay Airport, and I just know it's really important to rural communities, so I want to make sure that you continue that connection and make sure they're working and running, functioning well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, very much so. Rural airports are very much on the mind of the Aviation Board, who determines policy. And our visits throughout the state of this summer, I've tried to get to every mayor and county commissioner that I can, particularly in those communities that are vulnerable due to the federal funding issues with the county rural schools initiative and some of the other things. So airports are even more critical to the rural airports. We're also working with Malheur County in developing an emergency response airport there as well. It's critical to that corner of the state. So thank you very much for your interest.
Mr. Chair, one more question.
Yes.
Did you drive down or fly down?
You ran there.
Senator Brown, I was tempted to run.
No, I drove this time.
Okay.
Okay. And we will not ask if you abided by the speed limit.
I did, Mr. Chair.
Good. The right answer.
Okay. Any additional questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I will close public hearing. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. And I will go to a public hearing for Kenneth Lewis for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission and open that hearing. We are now actually a subcommittee of the committee, but you can still come forward. So if Mr. Lewis is here.
Well, he's on his way right now.
Oh, okay.
He's on his way now. And then I have two people here for sex offender.
Okay.
So if we take their testimony.
I don't know
what he's coming down.
Okay. All right.
What we could do is we'll stand at ease now. What I would prefer to do, because I do not believe that there's any question actually about the appointees to the sex offender. I'll close that public hearing. If there's any question about any of the appointees to the sex offender treatment board, I think there's some questions about the board and just some things that people want to put on the record. So I'm going to actually, even though you're here, I'm going to delay that till 2:30. I hate to do that, but I think it actually would be a benefit if we get into that discussion, even though it's a new creation of the legislature, because I hope that's okay for the parties. But what I could do is we do not have anyone else here. Do we?
Dr. Davis is here. Dr. Davis. So
okay.
Dr. Davis and Ms. Patterson are here.
Okay.
But you want to wait for the rest of the board. And we know that Mr. Lewis is on his way back down to the hearing room, theoretically.
Is he in the building?
Yes. Oh, here he is.
Okay. Okay. I will reopen the hearing for the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. And Mr. Kenneth Lewis, will you come forward, identify yourself for the record, tell us a little bit about yourself, why you want to serve, and speak for 3 to 5 minutes, and then we will go to questions.
Thank you, Chairman Devlin, and fellow senators. I've believed for the longest time that the most important thing in honorable public service is the respect of the public. And to have that, you have to have feelings of integrity, that the public believes that the elected and appointed officials all have integrity. And unfortunately in Oregon, we do have that. And this has been a very clean state during the 40-some-odd years that I've lived here. And I think that the Ethics Commission plays an important role in this, in setting the parameters, following the law, and letting legislative and appointed officials to know what they need to do and to enforce with the laws that the legislature makes. So that's why I'm interested in serving on this commission. I was an attorney. I was in the shipping business. I was appointed by Governor McCall to the Port Commission and the TriMet Board. And I'm retired for 9 years now. And I want to serve on this because I have the time to do it. I think it's an important issue. And being a lawyer, I think it would be helpful for me also to understand what the law is. So that's why I would like to serve on this commission.
Any questions for Mr. Lewis?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Lewis, welcome. I just wanted to comment on the legislature passed some legislation this last session regarding Oregon's ethics laws. And in my meetings around the state, there's apparently a lot of, shall we say, misinformation about what that legislation did. And I just hope in your role as a lawyer and as a very interested citizen that you can help the GSPC, which I think will be known officially as the Ethics Commission, help educate particularly local governments about the implications of the new ethics law. So that's just a request. So
to be an educative role, to play an educative role in enforcing the law.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
So
I would hope I could do that.
Also, Mr. Lewis, I might add, SB 10 is a
very important yet very complex piece of legislation, and it impacts not only statewide officials and the 90 members of the legislature, but I think impacts literally probably tens, several.
I think the number is 170,000.
170,000 individuals. And I know that you do not have the resources basically to educate all 170,000, but I think we are striving for some way to give clear explanations. The legislature is doing that for their own members so that they can understand some of the basic things, so that a lot of it is relatively straightforward, where if you thought about this, you would know when you were in a good situation versus a bad situation. But it will take a little bit of time, and I think that the board might find itself a little bit, probably not with the legislature, because I think we will do a good job, and I think local governments will try to do a good job, but a little bit of latitude at first, because when you get down to the technicalities of this, there may be some issues in implementation. And I know that when the Secretary of State implemented our new CNE reporting system, he basically put in place a, what would I call it, a, he put in place a window of where he would not impose penalties unless they were relatively severe offenses. And this is a different area, because
a grace period
because the new system for the the people that are not familiar with it, is not as complex as it at first appears. But it's very easy when a person's campaign or a committee first starts working with the system to make errors. And so I just hope that the board has a little bit of latitude. The other thing, and I'm being careful how I say this, that I put on the record, is that I think your experience as an attorney will be very beneficial. And I know that there have been other attorneys that have served on the board. So I think that you understand clearly the importance of due process in this. And the times I think the board has done great work, but I think the times when I've had shook my head is basically at times when people would announce things earlier than before they had made a decision about the evidence that was before them. That's a little bit contrary to anything close to a judicial frame of mind. And if you could comment on that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I certainly believe that that's accurate, that you should never disclose anything about what you're doing to anybody until the decision was made. I was once on the TriMet board, and I remember very easily when the chairman of the TriMet board, the board was then fired. Governor McCall fired the board because they weren't doing what he wanted them to do. And I remember that the chairman at the time was telling the city council things that we hadn't done. And he had jumped the gun on things that were still in discussion with the TriMet board in terms of how the routes would be. We wanted a regional downtown, a regional transportation system, and he was looking for a downtown bus system. And there was a difference, and Governor McCall obviously wanted a regional transportation system, and he jumped the gun. So I think it's very important that we never disclose anything until the full commission makes a decision on something. I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
In terms of educating, is it the habit of this commission to have hearings around the state or to travel around the state having open forums?
Mr. Lewis, I think there has been some activity there, but for as long as I can remember, whoever has been the executive director of the commission has appeared at League of Oregon Cities events, Association of Oregon Counties events, has come here actually at times to talk to new legislators, and I'm sure appears in a number of other venues trying to inform people about the requirements that they have, and probably I would guess appears amongst a lot of the different professional boards like city administrators and others that also have to report. And so I think that there has been a good effort. The problems, as Senator Brown and Senator Farrioli got to know far too well, and I think Senator Locking in the end of the session, is anytime you deal with this issue, it becomes complex because you're trying to deal with basically trying to determine what to prohibit and what is okay in a sense. And fortunately, it is not as complex as something that I
when we had a version of campaign finance reform here in 96, which maybe was well intended but was so complex, I think at the end there were only five people in the state that understood it, and I was accused of being one of them. Senator Brown probably would agree with that.
Yes, I would accuse you of a lot, Senator Devlin.
but that's as quick a response as I can give. But I would like to thank you for your willingness to serve on this very important board.
Well, thank you very much. I consider it really an honor and a pleasure to be able to serve on something like this Ethics Commission. Thank you.
Senator Farrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we ought to get the before picture and get it today. So that we can compare that with the after picture. After 170,000 Oregonians become aware that by virtue of their service as a board or commission member, voluntary board or commission member, they are now under the requirement to fill out the GSPC government standards and practices financial disclosure forms. That's a big deal.
Mr. Chair, yeah. Just to correct, no. There are 170,000 public officials subject to Oregon's ethics laws, which is currently the case.
Yeah.
There are about 4,000 officials that fill out this statement of economic interest. There were some changes, some updates to that, but those are two different categories. So I didn't want them to get that wrong already. So there are two different categories. So
I sit corrected, Madam Chair, Senate committee that heard the bill. Notwithstanding that correction, there's going to be a lot of folks who are looking to GSPC for the training they need.
For the
training they need to make sure that they're compliant. And so when you suggested with your question, had the GSPC done roadshows, I think it's incumbent on you to do it. So I think it's an excellent idea. I think the outreach is going to be the critical element whether or not the reforms that we've made in the legislative session are looked at as effective and achieve the objective. If you don't do the outreach, basically I believe they'll be regarded as another legislative failure. And as is often the case, they will come home to roost with as an unintended consequence and collateral damage to members of the GSPC, not the legislature that created them. So a lot of the burden is going to fall on the members.
When I was on the Port Commission, Punch Green and Jim Thayer, who were Republicans and good friends of mine, actually, we decided that we needed on the Port Commission, with Lord Anderson, who was in the executive director, to give sessions around the Tri-County area, mm-hmm. because we constantly needed the voters to approve the things that we were doing, and the only way we felt that we could confidently do that was for them to have confidence in what we were doing. So we had sessions continually in the Tri-County area, and that's why I was asking that question, because mm-hmm. I think it would be a good thing for us to do also.
Good enough. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
My last comment on this issue.
Okay.
Mr. Lewis, I just wanted you to know that Senator Farrioli and I fought long and hard over this particular legislation and the many issues, and we disagreed about nitty-gritty details as well as big picture, but the one thing I think we would both agree on is that the training program is absolutely essential, and particularly working with local governments to set up trainings for their public officials. So anyway, Senator Farrioli, I just wanted to say I agree with you. So.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Lewis, for your willingness to serve. And
thank you for the opportunity to do that. Thank you.
We will take action on your appointment later today, and that will go to the full Senate on Thursday. So,
should I be here on Thursday?
No, you do not need to be here on Thursday, unless you want to be bored.
Thank you, Senator Devlin.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you. That I will close that public hearing. We do have two additional parties here that are individual appointments to boards, which we could do very quickly. So I'm going to do those two. Then I'm going to go to the motions for the early afternoon. So that will give us still enough time for a short break, and then we'll come right back at 2:30 and get into into the Sex Offender Treatment Board. So I'm going to open up a public hearing for Robert Kenta for the Ocean Policy Advisory Committee. Mr. Kenta, are you here?
please state your name for the record, where you live, and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to serve. And you have 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay. My name is Robert Tenta. I live at 4645 Logsdon Road, Logsdon, Oregon, near Sillette's. If anybody knows where that is. I am a Sillette's tribal member, grew up in the Sillette's community, have served for the last couple of years. It'll be 3 years in February on the Sillette's Tribal Council. Have been the Sillette's Tribe's Tribal Council representative on the Natural Resources Committee of the Standing Committees of the Tribe for the last couple of years. Been a Ocean Beach user all my life. Subsistence, shellfish gathering, rockfish, fishing for perch and whatnot off the ocean rocks. I've seen a lot of changes on the beaches. Over time, I've seen a little bit of increase in lack of respect for Oregon's beaches over the years. And although I'm not fully versed on what OPAC has been working on, I am interested in those issues and willing to delve in and get up to speed on the issues that they have been working on.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Clinton? Hearing none, thank you very much for being here today. Thank you for being willing to serve, and I will close the public hearing for the Ocean Policy Advisory Committee and Mr. Robert Kent's appointment. I will now open a hearing on the Future Standards and Practices Commission, the appointment of Milton Dennison.
Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin, Senators. For the record, I traveled to speed limit meeting here, so I thank you. So I had an earlier meeting down here. My name is Milt Dennison. I reside at 11540 Southeast Cross Road in Happy Valley, Oregon. For the past 3 years, I've been the superintendent of the Clackamas Education Service District. Prior to that, I served as a K-12 superintendent in the Canby Elementary District. We used to have those. And then I spent 11 years in Camas, Washington as a superintendent in Camas, Washington. So I've had experience. I worked in 4 states. That's probably why I'm still working. So I also teach an educational leadership doctorate program at Lewis and Clark, so I still keep my hands in teaching, even though it's at the university level. And my wife recently retired as a primary teacher in the Westland School District, and both our children are products of fine Oregon public schools. So I've been a lifelong educator, actually in my 39th year, with no immediate plans to retire. So nothing to do with working in 4 different states, but I just love it. So my career-long mission as an educator is to do everything I can to ensure that every child in our schools have a quality instructor every day, every year. I see TSPC as a component of that mission, and I look forward to working with staff and the other commissioners over the term of my appointment to TSPC. So, certainly open to any questions that you might have today.
Okay. Yes, Senator Ferriero.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an ongoing discussion I've been having with the director of TSPC. The Teacher Standards and Practices Commission does not certify the competency of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It never has. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me as being odd that we put those applicants through the processes of TSPC, which is background check and educational attainment,
mm-hmm.
and documentation pretty rigorously, but not certification in content areas where they'll teach. It just seems to me to be an omission.
Mm-hmm.
And your opening comment about having a desire to see that each student is taught by a teacher who is competent,
right,
strikes right at the heart of that question.
Right.
So it's not a question for you to answer.
the legislature could change the mission of TSPC.
Mm-hmm.
Just a message I'd like to send back with you as a board member when you take your duties to share with the other members that the teacher competency ought to be what TSPC certifies. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
I would do so.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Senator Farioli and I have a different subject, but we might want to discuss in the future. But the time here today. Any additional questions? If none, thank you very much for appearing.
Thank you, Senator,
for your willingness to serve. I will close the public hearing for Mr. Dennison for the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Colleagues, I'm going to now go through a series of motions, and then we will hopefully take a short break and come back for actually only 15 appointees if this all works well.
Impressed, Senator Devlin.
And half of them are going to be for the, Sex Offender
Treatment Board.
Yes. This first grouping is the grouping of people whose appearances were waived. These are reappointments, and also people, we also actually hear from everyone who's actually serving in a paid position. The only exception I believe in here to that is the superintendent of the state police, who was actually went through this process for his confirmation for that appointment, but who actually serves as a matter of a slot on the DPSST group.
And Mr. Chair, just for the record, we had an extensive conversation before the superintendent was approved. We had an extensive conversation with him and had, I think there were witnesses to testify as well. So,
okay. Well, with that, I will start with this very long motion. I'm opening a work session for the consideration of appointments to the following boards and commissions: the State Commission on Children and Families, the Construction Contractors Board, the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, the State Board of Forestry, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery, the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training, the Oregon Racing Commission, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, the State Board of Tax Practitioners, the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examiners Board, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. And then I need a member to...
You can just read it.
Okay. And I move that the appearances be waived and that the following reappointments be moved to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc: the appointment of Anita Decker and the reappointment of John Junker to the State Commission on Children and Families, the reappointment of Chuck Crump to the Construction Contractors Board, the appointment of Peggy Penland to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, the reappointments of Larry Justina and William Hutchinson to the State Board of Forestry, the reappointment of Lucy Veliz to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, the reappointments of Rosemary Carvalho and Sherry Dress to the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery, the appointment of Timothy McLean to the Board of the Public Safety Standards and Training, the reappointment of Carrie Johnson to the Oregon Racing Commission, the reappointment of Casper Sharples to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, the reappointment of Jessica Tiras to the State Board of Tax Practitioners, although he actually appeared, the reappointments of Bill Beck and Charlene Holland to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, the reappointment of Robert Lester to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examiners Board, the reappointment of Daniel Haggerty and the appointment of Diane Snyder to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, the reappointments of Tracy Brill, Ellen Cutler, John Kirkpatrick, Gregory Miller, Bob Shiprack, and Sherry Sundstrom to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections?
Is Senator Atkinson on the
phone? Senator Atkinson, are you still there? Senator Atkinson? Apparently not. Okay. If there are no objections, so moved.
This is Jason. I'm here.
Oh, okay. There were no objections, were there?
I kept waving my hand. You haven't seen me?
Well, I'll ask you directly. Are there any objections?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Now I will go to these individual motions. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Jonathan Ater, Eileen Brady, Tom Chamberlain, Charles Hoffman, Raymond Miao, Marcus Mundy, and William Thorndike to the Oregon Health Fund Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection?
Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Paul Kelly to the State Board of Higher Education to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Peter Bragdon and Diane Daggett to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Linda Barno to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Peter Hayes and Kelvin Makamoto to the State Board of Forestry. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Robert Kenta to the Ocean Policy Advisory Committee to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Now I have to find it. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Kenneth Lewis to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session moving the appointment of Milton Dennison to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session moving the reappointment of Daniel Clem, or moving the appointment of Daniel Clem as the Director of the Oregon Department of Aviation to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Do we have any more?
No.
Members of the committee, we will now recess for a period of about 13 minutes, and we will start again at 2:30, and we will start directly with the Sex Offender Treatment Board. So we'll recess till 2:30.
We'll call you back, Senator Atkinson.
Are these folks all here? On the
for September 10th, 2007, and I will open a public hearing on the Sex Offender Treatment Board, and I'm going to name all the parties that are being appointed to that board. All but one will be here in person, and one is going to be on the phone. So those parties are Jane Allen, William Davis, Donald Didier, Stephen Musak, Deborah Patterson, Patrick Schreiner, and I would ask that that Jane Allen, William Davis, and Donald Didier come forward first. They're here. And the basis of what we're doing here today is just to simply ask you to state your name for the record, let us know where you live in the state, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit why you want to serve, and actually so I can kind of address an issue that has come up in the committee, because this is new legislation requiring this board. Comment briefly on why you think the board is necessary, which I think there was probably a great deal of testimony in the session about why it's important that people that are working in this area are actually qualified to work in this area. So Ms. Allen would start.
Thank you, Senator Devlin and Senators. My name is Jane Allen. I am originally from Maryland, so I'm a long way from where my family is. I started out with interest in working with victims. I currently live in Albany, Oregon, and I'm working at Linn County Community Mental Health. I work in their juvenile sex offender treatment program. So with the work that I did in my doctoral program, started me out primarily in victim issues. But it seems that being concerned that victims get the treatment they need also then puts a real, I think, high priority on the services you provide to juvenile sex offenders. As far as participation on this board, I have done a few other things before I ever went into the field of psychology. So although I have a few years of experience, I'm also new to my field in psychology as a psychologist, and relatively new, about 6 or 7 years experience in working with juvenile sex offenders. So I think there's a level of interest and enthusiasm that I still have in working with this population that's helpful. as far as why there needs to be a board to oversee, certify, evaluate criterion of individuals that are providing treatment. I think we need to have a standardization of treatment. I think we need to evaluate how people are trained, how frequently they attend new trainings, because our field has changed significantly over the past 15 to 20 years. The research that we have as far as how juvenile sex offenders and adults are different, it is very different now than it was 20 years ago. So it's an exciting time to be part of this field, and I want to be part of it. I want to be on the top edge instead of receiving things on the bottom edge. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Davis.
I'm Bill Davis. I live and work in Salem, Oregon as a psychologist. I'm president of the Oregon Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers, and was recommended to the governor's office by that board as a nominee. It's my belief that competent, evidence-based, sex offense-specific therapeutic intervention with some sexual offenders can effectively reduce the risk of recidivism. And then basically what that means is we're also reducing the number of victims and the amount of pain that goes with being victimized in this manner. It's long been the interest of the Oregon Association for Treatment of Sexual Abusers, as well as our parent organization, the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers, which is actually an international research and treatment association professionals, to promote research, education, training, establishment of ethics and standards of practice for people who interact with sex offenders therapeutically. And I think this Sex Offender Treatment Board brings all of those things to bear in the state of Oregon in an official way. Where, frankly, to answer your question about the need for the board, the treatment situation for sex offenders in the state of Oregon has been somewhat, to be kind, eclectic. Not necessarily research-driven. A lot of the people who have been giving treatment have been not always competent or up to date, and so the board would put us in a position to be able to certify people as educated, trained, experienced, and ready to do that job. I think the board will also drive the professional competence in the field. It will drive all the professionals involved in the field toward further education and supervision. And I think that can do nothing but benefit the people of Oregon in many ways, both as victims and financially, in terms of not having to warehouse as many offenders as we do presently in our prisons. What I bring to this board is 31 years of professional clinical experience, 22 of which have been in treating and evaluating sex offenders. I've been a psychologist since 1998. I served on the OATSA board for the last 6 years. I really feel that those things, as well as my role as an adjunct professor, adjunct instructor in graduate schools for trained professional counselors, suits me to be a contributor to this board. And I'd be glad to entertain any questions later. Thank you.
Okay. Hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Mr. Didier?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Donald Didier. I live at 2617 Northeast 9th in Portland, Oregon. My experience that brings me to the board is I've done both direct service and administration. I'm the executive director of Youth Progress Association, works with adolescent youth who are 16 to 22, many who are sex offenders. I've also am a licensed clinical social worker and have done clinical work with social workers for about 25 years. I've been a member of the Oregon Adolescent Sex Offender Treatment Network Board, and that's who I'm representing. I'm currently a member of the Oregon Board of National Association of Social Workers. my experience as adolescent sex offenders, which is different than adult sex offenders, and I think blending, part of the board's challenge will be to blending those needs. I, for many years, see that the sex offenders as people who have many things going on in their life, and there's many reasons why people offend. And I think it takes a certain amount of clinical ability and experience to be able to deal with all the facets that causes someone to commit sex offenses. Why I'm excited about the board is I also see that we're going to be able to move the field somewhere and challenge it. That there's a whole lot of research going on in the adolescent end, and I'm sure in the adult end, that is really changing the way we do work. 20 years ago, our job was to beat them up. Now it's to move them along and to treat both the victim of the youth as well as what their behaviors are. And I think the board and asking for people who have some both clinical experience as well as research experience is really going to move, and I think we're going to do a better job in the practitioner side. Ask any questions?
Okay, thank you. What we will do is we'll go to the next three members, and then we will go to questions. So if you would all please just sit in the first row, that would be very beneficial. Then we'll go in person here, Deborah Patterson and Patrick Schreiner. And is Mr. Musak? Mr. Musak, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, why don't I go ahead and I'll take you first, actually. I'll go right down my list. I don't know if you've been on while I gave sort of a short explanation, but I'll give it again. Simply state your name, where you're from, why you want to serve, why you think it's important. In the case of this board, since it is a new board, why you think it's important in this particular area to basically set standards to certify people that are offering treatment in this area. If you would please proceed, Mr. Musak.
Chair and members of the committee, my name is Stephen Eric Musak. I'm a licensed psychologist in private practice in the state of Oregon and director of the Choices programs in Salem and Eugene. Choices provides community-based treatment for adults, juveniles, and intellectually delayed individuals and their families who are sexual offenders and or exhibit other sexual behavior problems. My address is 1973 Garden Avenue in Eugene. My background includes being a co-founding member of the Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers, co-author of their original Code of Ethics and Standards of Practice, and I presently serve on the board of the Oregon Association for the Treatment of Sexual Abusers. I am seeking a position on this license board for sexual offender treatment therapists as part of my ongoing almost 30-year commitment to support effective sexual offender treatment as part of an overall focus on keeping Oregon citizens safe from sexual predation. Creating a licensure board for sexual offender therapists will create an opportunity to assist law enforcement as well as the community in being certain that the highest level of standards of practice are being maintained when treating individuals who are dangerous to our community. I am looking for the opportunity to serve on this board to help shape it in its initial formation as part of my hope in assisting with the long-term safety of the citizens of Oregon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Patterson.
Good afternoon, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Deborah Patterson. I'm from Crook County Juvenile Department, Prineville, Oregon. I have worked in the juvenile justice field for 30 years. During that time, I was a probation counselor. I handled a caseload of probationers from adjudicated on a number of different crimes, including sex offenses. I also assisted in the investigation of child abuse and neglect, sex abuse, and did that for approximately 15 years. I'm now the juvenile department director of Crook County, and oversee three probation officers and a parent trainer and a community service coordinator. During that time, I've continued with my training in regard to case management and supervision of sex offenders. When several sessions ago, when 267 was passed, we all looked at what programs we had in our departments and how to make those better. And now we all look at programs and only bring in what is best practice and evidence-based. This House bill seemed like it just made a lot of sense. I think we need to look at what is provided in the community to our sex offenders. If my nomination is accepted, I'm excited to work on the treatment board and bring 30 years of experience.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Schreiner.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Pat Schreiner. I am with the Department of Community Justice in Multnomah County. I am a representative from the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors for this board. The collaboration between sex offender treatment and community supervision is a critical component to effectively managing this population, which we've been very successful in Oregon in managing this population. This body passed in 2003 Senate Bill 267, which mandated evidence-based practices, which is one of the best bills relative to community corrections that has ever come out of the legislature. This board has an opportunity to take those practices and require treatment services and community corrections and folks to collaborate, work together to continue to reduce sexual victimization. So we are also very excited about that. This field, this specialization does require specialized training, specialized assessments. There are core components to not only treatment but supervision that both treatment providers and the POs that manage them need to know and need to be working together with. So we are also excited with the community corrections directors to be participating in this board. What I bring to this committee is I've been in community corrections for 25 years. I've been the liaison for the Sex Offender Supervision Network for the last 4 years from the community corrections directors. Prior to that, I supervised sex offenders for 6.5 years, and I also managed a unit of a sex offender team in Marion County for a couple of years. So I've been involved with this since actually 1991, when the Sex Offender Supervision Network was formed. I was part of that forming body, and we serve the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors. We serve Department of Corrections, and we serve this body with testimony and advice. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for any of the parties that are being put forward for this new board? The only thing that I might just say is that I think you'll actually also, once you're functioning, be an excellent source for the legislature, because I've been on several committees, and I'm sure almost virtually everyone has been on committees here that have had questions, particularly when we're considering legislation concerning sex offenders, and particularly if we're in some of the areas that I've worked on in terms of actual incarceration of sex offenders. But to know that a board like this exists, what might be a ready source of at least getting a response. To give you an example, several years ago we looked at the possibility but did not proceed on the fact that we now have a number of adult correctional facilities that are obviously new facilities that are arranged on a pod basis. So it is possible to actually separate people into units if they stay in the units 95-98% of the time, which you could actually do some things in that kind of environment that you could not do in an Oregon State Penitentiary or an Oregon State Correctional Institution. So I'm glad to see that the board is being formed. Any questions, any comments? Well, again, yes, Senator Ferriero.
I think this board, once confirmed, is on the ground floor. And you have the luxury of not being limited by the your predecessors. There aren't any. So the great leap forward in evidence-based treatment is yours to implement. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Senator Ferriero. With that, I will close the public hearing and we'll take action on your appointments hopefully relatively soon here this afternoon. Thank you all for coming. Sorry that a few of you had to wait a little bit longer, but I wanted to bring you all up as one group. And thank you, Mr. Musak, for being on the phone. Okay, close the public hearing. We will go on to a public hearing on, we have everybody, for the Oregon Health Sciences University Board of Directors, Mr. J. Waldron. Mr. Waldron, if you'll come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm J. Waldron. I live in Portland at 7823 Southeast 32nd. I practice law at the law firm of Schwabe, Williamson & Wyatt, downtown at 1211 Southwest 5th Avenue. I very much appreciate the opportunity to appear before you. As far as my relevant background, I think it's twofold. I obtained a master's degree and worked on my PhD in English and taught both in a rural school district in the South, as well as briefly at university, so I have a strong interest in the educational aspects of OHSU, and I've recently completed 8 years service on the Port of Portland Commission, 6 years as president, and I have a very strong liking for the, obviously for the OHSU community service part of their mission, and I think I've had some experience in public-private partnerships and in both spending taxpayer dollars wisely and also in running a business that at times is essentially a private business, but it has clear public accountability. I was also very proud during the service on the Port of Portland that we tried to refer to it as the Port of Oregon, and I believe that both the Port of Portland and OHSU should serve citizens in Burns just as much as it serves citizens in Portland. As far as the mission, I know the primary mission is the health of Oregonians. It's primarily to serve the community, and it does it through teaching, through healing, and through discovery. And I think I have, with my experience on the Port of Portland, some ideas to work with the policy area and serve on the board. Thank you. Okay. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Waldron? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. And I will close the public hearing from the Oregon Health Sciences University Board of Directors. I will open a public hearing for the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Ms. Suzanne Nelson. And unless I am wrong about the name, which I don't believe I am, looking at you have just taken temporarily a major assignment on behalf of the state, and you are actually also now the interim director for the Board of Nursing. Am I wrong?
Chair Devlin, that's correct.
Okay, and so you'll be going back to the Department of Human Services after that is what I expect.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So she has a very major task before her. So, Ms. Nelson, if you would just give us some background, tell us where you're from in the state and why you want to serve.
Okay. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Suzanne Nelson, and I am with the Oregon Department of Human Services. And as the chair pointed out, for the next 6 months, interim executive director for the Board of Nursing. My interest in serving on the Patient Safety Commission is largely connected to my role as a member of the Public Employees Benefit Board. As a major purchaser of benefit plans for a large group of public employees, the board's vision includes a focus on quality and outcomes and not just on providing health care services. The Patient Safety Commission's focus on voluntary reporting, data analysis, education, and system improvements is an approach that I think is productive and collaborative by definition and respects the interests of everyone involved in the healthcare system. My broader interest is in the field of public health, with emphasis on prevention, data-based decision-making, and evidence-based practices. So that, for me, is in perfect alignment with both the Public Employees Benefit Board and the work I would like to do with the Patient Safety Commission. and also have a broad background in supporting health and human service programs. I've been with the Department of Human Services for the last 10 years and had the great pleasure of serving in some way in almost every part of the department. So I believe I can make a positive contribution to the commission if I'm allowed to serve. And thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, any questions for Ms. Nelson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I understand the Patient Safety Commission, it's uniquely concerned with the issue of the delivery of services in a safe environment and the guarantee, or at least the meeting the standard expectation that patients get safe treatment. Do you feel that your other missions would put you in any conflicted roles? You know, if you're administrating on behalf of the state and cost is an issue, and the delivery of services has to be balanced against the cost of those services, but in the role of the patient safety commissioner, you might have an internal conflict. So I'd like to hear you discuss how you'd handle that if you see one. And if you don't see one, I'd like to hear that.
Okay. Chair Devlin and Senator Ferrioli, I don't on the surface see an opportunity for conflict there. Maybe that's partly through the discussions that took place in the formation of the vision for the Public Employees Benefit Board. Really, you know, obviously cost is an important factor for a taxpayer-funded program for public employees. But ultimately, if the outcomes aren't what we desire in terms of better health outcomes, no amount of cost savings is really going to achieve the vision. So I don't really see those things in conflict. If I sense a conflict occurring, I think it would be my responsibility to discuss that with the board administrator, with the other commissioners, and determine what my role should appropriately be at that point. And, you know, if necessary to abstain, abstain.
A follow-on?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, thanks. Currently, information about patient safety is available only under certain circumstances. I mean, if a person wants to check, you can go to the internet and you can go to the boards and commissions, but some of the information is, I guess, somewhat embargoed. Somebody explained to me that any number of complaints that result in a disciplinary action could be filed, but if the monetary value doesn't exceed $100,000, there's no record.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us are painfully aware of the Dr. Patel disaster in Oregon. It seemed as though, you know, that certainly isn't a normal situation, I would hope, and people want to be assured that that is not the case. But transparency is a big issue. In your new role, if you're to be confirmed, how would you prevent that situation from occurring again? And what could the board do to make transparency a consumer issue?
Well, I understand the sensitivity for this commission, since I recall when the legislature created the commission in 2003, I think one of the most sensitive issues encountered was the confidentiality of the data that would be collected, because I think there was a level of fear around it becoming simply a database for litigation purposes. And if that's the case, then no one will report. And if no one voluntarily reports, then we don't get the data. Without the data, we can't find the problems and improve the systems, which is ultimately the way to get this at the beginning of a problem rather than always in a trial situation, I think. So I do understand the importance of keeping that data confidential, considering the purpose of the commission. As a consumer and as someone who cares about being able to make quality choices, which I think is part of what we want patients to have the right to do, I do believe that as much information as can be made available to the public should be made available. Whether it's by this commission or not may be another question, but I do note that in just some of the background material I'm reading on the commission, that it is required that anyone who participates in the voluntary reporting program is also required to notify patients of every bad event that takes place that involves them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Any additional questions for Ms. Nelson?
Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here today. I know that you faced a lot of challenges in your position before being the new interim director for the Board of Nursing, and of course you're taking on this additional challenge here today. So thank you for your service, and we'll take action on your appointment within probably the next few minutes, and then the Senate will take action on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will go on. I will open a public hearing, Student Assistance Commission, for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, and boy, I'm going to try this one, for Mike Filippelli.
Filippelli.
It's phonetic, right, Mr. Chair?
Please proceed.
All right. Chair Devlin, Senator Brown, you were correct with your pronunciation.
Thank you.
All right, Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Mike Filippelli. I live, it's an updated address from the application at 1255 Mill Street, apartment 20, Eugene, Oregon, 97401. I applied for this committee because as a student, I've been a student organizer for 3 years. I've been involved on campus doing work around voter registration, doing work around the issues that OSAC actually, provides. The child care program, the shared responsibility model, or the Oregon Opportunity Grant. All these programs are things that I've lobbied for, things that I've been working on my campus, educating students about, and I'm excited about working on in this new form.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much for coming here today.
Thank you.
That I will close the public hearing, and now we will go down to the Oregon Racing Commission. Good to see you, Mr. Williamson, if you'll come forward, and Mr. Dudley. And I think we're going to try to get Stan Robson on the phone. So, Mr. Dudley, if you would go ahead and start.
Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Chris Dudley. I reside at 7893 Only Street Southeast in Salem, which is actually rural Marion County. It's not in the city. I've been appointed to the Oregon Racing Commission pending Senate confirmation. I've owned horses for more than 30 years, owned, raised, and used horses for more than 30 years, so I understand something about the animals. I have also been a registered lobbyist for over 30 years when I was for the Oregon School Boards Association representing public schools and school boards. So I understand state government and the purpose of boards and commissions and how they work. And I think that gives me a background that would allow me to serve the state in this capacity. I seek your support. I very much want to hold this position, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Mr. Williamson.
My name is Charles Williamson. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I've also been a lobbyist for over 30 years. I have served on the Metropolitan Service District Council. I serve as president of the Oregon State Bar. I'm familiar with state government. I've represented quite a few. As a lawyer, I'm a lawyer from Portland, and I represent quite a few people before the Oregon Racing Commission over the years. I've represented the Oregon Greyhound Association, the Oregon Greyhound Breeders Association. I was very disappointed that the Greyhound track closed, and I'm scared to death of horses, but I like to watch them. But I would like to. I think the Racing Commission has some major challenges to keep racing in Oregon, and I'd like to try and help meet that challenge. I'm glad to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. Do we have Mr. Robson on the phone? Mr. Robson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
If you would identify yourself, give us where you live in Oregon, and give us a little history and why you want to serve on the Racing Commission.
All right. My name is Stan Robson. I live in Sisters, Oregon. And prior to that, I was in Corrales, Oregon, where I served at the Benton County Sheriff's Office for 30 years, retiring in 2001 as sheriff of the county. Since then, have continued working, went to training, and was lottery commissioner for 4 years, and been involved in various legislative issues, dealing with domestic violence, and I'm my soapbox and volunteer work that I've done since retiring. And being asked to serve on the Racing Commission, I think I can bring my background in law enforcement, my work with the Lottery Commission, and my interest in doing what I can for various state endeavors to the commission.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Robson. Any questions for Mr. Dudley, Mr. Robson, or Mr. Williamson? Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I also am a horse enthusiast, though I luckily am not into racing, but I am really concerned, actually, about the horse racing industry in the state of Oregon. I know it's really struggling financially, and I guess by putting two of you extremely experienced folks, and I know former Sheriff Robson is also experienced part of state government, that I hope we could come back to 2009 with a plan to keep horse racing alive. I think it's really critical part of some of the rural economies. I know that there are not like a handful of tracks left. I don't know which counties those are in. I think one is in Tillamook. But I just hope we can keep it going in Oregon, because I think it's really valuable and I think it's a good sport. And the more horses, the better, as far as I'm concerned. So, good luck.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
Well, thank you all very much for being here today. I would say to Mr. Dudley and Mr. Williamson, and thanking Mr. Robson for being here, but Mr. Dudley and Mr. Williamson, with your lobbying background, they've never asked for, but they're not. The Racing Commission isn't getting any general fund, even with this much lobbying.
We were trying to get some lottery dollars last time around, so lottery dollars to keep the county fairs alive, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Putting my Schrader comment in there. So thank you very much, and I'll close that public hearing.
Mr. Grinch.
We actually have three people that will be by phone. I do not know if we have any of them yet. I'm going to go last.
Mindy.
I'm going to go last to Mindy. So we will try Michelle Homer and Deborah Summer. And then while we are waiting, I'm going to inform the committee that Ms. Metka is in the process of delivering a baby. Now, normally we never waive the appearance of an appointee. If I waive this, I will be setting a precedent that if you are in the process of delivering a child, we will consider waiving your appearance.
What better way to check qualification than speakerphone?
So if we get to that point with
no objection, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Also, so we can expedite things as we end here, I will go through the final motions here and then the intent. Senator Atkinson, are you still there?
No.
Oh, he's not. Okay. But I will ask that this be split up into basically the minimum we can get this to on the floor is 9. And so, Senator Avakian, I'll ask that you carry the waived appearances. That's about 25 or so. Senator Atkinson will carry everything from the morning, except for the people that are serving fully paid positions. Senator Brown, if you'll carry everything from the afternoon. We have a request for the Health Trust that our dynamic duo, Senator Bates and Senator Westland, carry that. And then Senator Ferrioli and I will split up the 6 paid positions, 3 each.
Fair enough.
At your service.
Okay.
I do have some chocolate if anybody needs a little pick-me-up. Chocolate, anyone?
So all I have to do here is do the ones that are not highlighted.
Exactly. Right. Just
off in weather anyway. Look at her if you're going for it.
No? Okay. You want me? Okay. That's really good.
Okay.
Just to go, man.
Okay. I will open a public hearing.
Okay, get it back.
to on the Quality Education Commission, Ms. Deborah Summer. Ms. Summer, are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, please just identify yourself for the record. Tell us where you're from in Oregon, a little bit about yourself, and a little bit of why you want to serve.
Okay, my name is Deborah Summer. It's S-O-M-M-E-R. I currently serve as the superintendent of the Canby School District. I'm a resident of Newburgh and have been an Oregonian since 1972. In my application materials, I don't want to be redundant. I think I spoke to the fact that this is my 35th year in public education in Oregon. I've worn a number of hats. I've taught at all levels of schooling, from elementary, middle, high, university level, and worked in a variety of school districts, both size, shape, and feature. And so I'm very intrigued by the model. I'm very committed to what Oregon is trying to do. Folks on the panel may not know that we actually had a representative on the original commission. Darcy Rourke was our curriculum director at the time that the first commission was formed, and we've been very supportive of it for that entire time. And so I'm interested in serving and making contribution as I'm able. I think that the model is very viable. I think that the school improvement funds that were appropriated for 2007-2009, tying those to research-based practices is a strategy that I'm very supportive of, and I believe that the model does that on a larger scale for K-12 schools in Oregon.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sommer. Any questions?
Yes.
Doctor. Yes. Any questions?
Senator Brown.
Senator Brown?
May I ask a question?
Yes.
Sure. Dr. Sommer, I was listening to NPR this morning, and they were doing a review regarding No Child Left Behind, and apparently the original sponsor is having some concerns about the implementation of the federal legislation in that it didn't really meet all of its goals. In a minute or less, any comments?
I think there have been some advantages to NCLB. I'm in the minority on that view, but I think that a key factor for us is that it has forced us to disaggregate our data and to look at subsets of kids and how they're doing in our system rather than relying on general statements and group averages. So I think that's a plus. I think that the key disadvantage, of course, is that it holds all children to the same standard and kind of an inexorable progress to 2014, and by their very nature are special education children who are by law 2 years behind in order to qualify. That's kind of counterintuitive, and our ELL students have some of the same issues. They just cannot and do not make progress commensurate with kids who bring to school a different set of advantages. So I think the law could certainly be improved. A continuous progress model makes a lot more sense to me in terms of what we know about kids and how they learn. But forcing the accountability issue and making us look at how all children are doing in school has been a good thing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Very pithy.
Pithy! Oh, that's good!
Any additional questions?
Are there any other questions or anything else you'd like to know about me?
No, other than we all know your senator very well.
Yes.
Both of your senators, actually, where you live and where you work.
We have a lot of dialogue.
So with that, I will close the public hearing, and we'll be taking action on your appointment later this afternoon.
All right. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Do we have Michelle Homer?
Give it a go.
Okay. At the same time, would there be objection from the committee, because I do not want Ms. Metka hurrying the delivery of a child, to just simply, do we have any objection to me waiving the appearance?
Is anybody on the committee actually given birth and none of us have the ability to object? Senator Devlin? Marjorie?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. We'll still try, but I just we have two left, and so
good excuses any I've heard.
Well, and it's sort of a limited exception. It's going to be hard to.
You don't think it'll set precedent?
No.
Yeah.
what I can do, and I can actually do this fairly clearly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Go, Richard, go. As long as you'll stop me if I make an error.
Okay.
I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Jane Allen, William Davis, Donald Didier, Stephen Musak, Deborah Patterson, and Patrick Schreiner to the Sex Offender Treatment Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, motion passes. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Jay Waldron to the Oregon Health Sciences University Board of Directors to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Suzanne Nelson to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none. So ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Mike Filippelli. Well, whatever. Back. To the Oregon Student Assistance Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed.
That's when you heard about this.
Mindy. Shinon? Yeah.
Mrs. Metka
from Metka.
Hi, Ms. Metka.
Hi.
We understand that you have had an interesting afternoon. I was just preparing to waive your appearance.
I have. I just delivered a baby.
Okay. Boy or girl?
It was a boy.
Do we have a name yet?
No, they don't have a name yet. Three possible ones, but we're not sure.
Put it up for a vote. Or appoint a committee.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm opening a public hearing for the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery. Is that true? And the designated appointee is Ms. Mindy Metka. Please state your name for the record, where you live in Oregon, and a little bit of your background and why you want to serve on the board.
Okay, my name is Mindy Metka, and I live in Silverton, Oregon, and I've been a nurse midwife for 2.5 years, and I love doing midwifery, and I think anyone that does midwifery is in a wonderful position, and I just think it's important to be on a board like this.
Okay. Any questions?
No, I do not have any questions.
Mr. Chair, actually, I do. I just want to confirm, you're a, you received an RN.
I received an RN. I was an LPN, then I received a Bachelor of Science in Nursing as an RN, and then I went back to school and become a certified nurse midwife.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I was involved in the crafting of the original legislation. It was one of those few pieces of bills where folks came together from all sort of walks of life to make this happen. So thank you for your willingness to serve on this commission.
No, it's my pleasure.
Okay. Any additional questions for Ms. Metka? Seeing none, I want to thank you for being on the phone here today, even under strenuous circumstances. And we will take action on your appointment later this afternoon, and then the full Senate will on Thursday.
Okay.
Again, appreciate you phoning in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. I will close that public hearing, and we have one left.
10 years old.
Okay. If you call her, I can continue on with the motions. Then.
Okay. I will continue on with the motions. I'm opening a work session, moving the appointment of Mindy Metka to the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Deborah Sommer to the Quality Education Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointments of Christopher Dudley, Stan Robson, Charles Williamson to the Oregon Racing Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointments be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Okay. So now we're just waiting for this one.
Wow, that's pretty good, Richard.
Close.
I'm impressed.
Okay. Well, and all to your lack of questioning, Kate.
What?
We owe it all to your lack of questioning. You said if I ask too many, you have somebody scream, and there was just
not enough.
Very little.
Okay.
So quickly we went.
When we're waiting a few seconds, Senator Ferriola and I will split up these appointments to the... the only one I'm really wed to carrying is...
I thought you were wed to your wife, Mr. Chair.
Is Miss Baker. Would you like to take Ray?
Mr. Shannon, at your discretion.
Okay. Well, I will take... I've actually served with Ray, so I'll take Ray and Miss Baker. And why don't you select three, and then I'll take whoever's left.
I'll give you your next three on the list.
So, power, employment relations, and workers' comp, which is what we were thinking of anyway.
Not a problem.
Okay, I'll take Mr. Klein.
There you have it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, she's on. Hello.
Hello, Ms. Homer. Michelle Homer.
Yes.
Hi. I just need to open a hearing, and then we will get into the process very quickly. I'm opening a hearing for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Dr. Homer, would you please just state your name, let us know where you live in Oregon, let us also know why you want to serve on the board, and you have about 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm Dr. Michelle Homer. I live in Eagle Point, Oregon. So down south by Lidford. I have a private practice in Central Point, Oregon. I've had a private practice for about almost 6 years now. And I have wanted to serve on the board since I graduated and knew there was a need for it. They were asking for help back then. And so now I meet the requirements as to number of years in private practice. And so I'm happy to serve on the board as needed by them.
Okay, thank you very much. Does the committee have any questions or any comments? Seeing none, you're actually our final appointment for the day. So I very much appreciate you. I very much appreciate you calling in and your willingness to serve. So I will go ahead and close that public hearing, and that completes our work with you here today. And we'll take action on your appointment relatively soon, and then it will go to the Senate floor on Thursday.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm opening a work session and moving the appointment of Dr. Michelle Homer to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners to the Senate floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Committee, we will go with the assignments as we indicated before. If there's anything that needs to be done to correct those before Thursday, I will try to ensure that the members that might have a change will be notified. And with that, we are probably... with barring something that I don't know about, we are probably adjourned for today and for 2007.